Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
All right, what's going on? It's Jeff. I'm letting the boys run free tonight. Not able to record. There's a fucking overlap with the other show I do, The Dozen, the trivia show. If you haven't watched it, feel free. Go watch. It's an awesome product. But so is this. However, going to let them do their own thing. Fights and Coley are on, so it's guaranteed to be an awesome episode with Trill and Kenjack. The overlap kind of stinks. The second season of The Dozen this summer, when it kicks off, I'm going to make sure there's no overlap with the pod. It just snowballed into a nightmare. Anyway, whatever. Editing nightmare tonight. Going to get through it, and you're going to get through it too, because guess what? You got a great pod ahead of you. However, one issue. We can't play outro music anymore. And for those who listen to the podcast who have been around for almost exactly a year's worth of pods, know that I love outro music. I love syncing it up perfectly with when Trill says "Have a Week at the Box Office." We have a cool playlist on Spotify. Unfortunately, we just can't play it anymore. It's the case for a lot of podcasts nowadays. You can't really skate by with that for copyright reasons. We can keep our intro, thank God, because if they told us no intro, I think we might have to end the podcast. But we can't do any like regular music for outros, which is a shame. But you have the old playlist if you want to go follow that. And then I dropped the new playlist in the link below where if you care, because some people might be shocked by this. There are some people who actually liked the music that I put at the end of the podcast. So you can go to that playlist and I'll add songs throughout. It's a bummer. I know it's very small and some people may not care about it, but it was always a fun way to end the pod and pick a song for a certain mood or vibe that was based on the episode, the week, what's going on. So I just wanted to note that for why our music's just going to start sounding like shit. Like I just felt like I had to say something. Anyway, thanks. We appreciate you. If you're still listening to this, you haven't skipped through it. I don't know what to say. There's some fucking stupid Guy Fieri show on TV right now. I think it looks dumb as hell. Anyway, I'm going to edit the podcast. I'm sure it's funny. And then I'm going to listen to it. Good night, good morning, whenever you're listening. Enjoy the pod.
Barstool episode 350. I don't know if that's right. It's probably right.
Just we never check charisma.
We just never check
the charisma king right here.
We're in the charisma crew.
The charisma zone.
We're in the pure charisma zone. It's me, it's Joe Ballins, and joining us is Coley Mick and Feidelberg because Jeff is not going to be here today. Feidelberg, Coley, what's going on?
Coley, you first. You're the editor in chief.
What? Weren't you just playing?
I was just playing trivia. Yeah, I just played.
So where the fuck's Jeff?
Not fucking edit in shit, man.
That's an excuse for me.
All I gotta do is answer questions. I'm in and out like a thief in the night there. What, did you steal that fucking stuff on the back of a truck? Didn't that shit come out like 3 days ago?
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah.
Describing, by the way, for those of you that don't realize, this is a podcast. They can't see you right now. Coley's wearing the brand new Boston gold and blue, what many are calling Chargers ripoff apparel.
It's clearly UCLA.
Yeah. And it looks like if Pitt, like it was an alternate universe where it was called Pittsburgh. Instead of Pitt, it was just Bit, and then that would be the B and the colors for the Pittsburgh Panthers football team.
I don't hate that either.
No, also a good one. It looks sharp, buddy, though, Cole.
Thank you, John.
Especially with the full combo. The full combos looks very sharp. Yeah, what's going on, John?
Not too much. When this comes out tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not going to say what just happened. Match we just had. Pretty good one. I'd go check it out. It was a barn burner. Came down the last minute.
I would definitely say go check out The Dozen, as always, which Jeff is, I'm sure, working very hard on right now. Before we get started, going to do our first little ad here. Look, we're going to get serious for a second after talking about the Pittsburgh Panthers. We're going to talk about BetterHelp.
Panthers are still the same in this alternate universe.
Oh, it's just Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're Panthers. Not called Panthers now. They're still Panthers.
Oh, okay. I thought there would be
Pittsburgh instead of being founded by like a guy named Pitt. His name was Bit.
I feel like it's not as cool if you don't have the alliteration though. But that's up to you.
That's true.
It's completely up to you. So anyway, we're gonna get serious for a second. The last year was super hard on a lot of people, and that's why we're doing something new and partnering up with our new sponsor, BetterHelp Online Therapy. Here at Barstool, we obviously love and appreciate our listeners. Without you, none of us could do what we do, or we wouldn't be able to really do what we do every day. So, you know, once in a while, we like to bring you something good, and if it's for you, that's awesome. And if not, it's totally okay. We obviously try to take care of our bodies, but it's a tough year. And I think a lot of us could do a better job at taking care of our minds. And there's obviously, I think, sort of a stigma and misunderstanding sometimes about what therapy is and just how you should treat it. It could be whatever you want it to be. It doesn't need to be sitting around talking about your feelings. It's something that I didn't know has helped me tremendously. I'm sure some of you guys as well. I'm not going to push you on that. That's what I'm saying. And obviously, a lot of people battle temper, or if the stress is too much to manage, or if you have depression, anxiety, PTSD, there's like a long, long list of that. If that's you, you can use therapy to help make your life easier. BetterHelp is online customized therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to, if you're not comfortable with that. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people, millions, who are seeing what therapy is really all about. It is a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/lights. That's better, BETTER, help, HELP.com/lights. I hope you know how to spell lights. All right, now we're going to talk about some movie stuff, the first of which being the new trailer for Fast and Furious 9, releasing obviously in theaters June 25th. Fights is rubbing his hands right now. I'm going to give you get first dibs. You get diverse dibs twice. What did you think of the trailer?
Ken Jack. I actually just watched it live on KFC radio recording. I screamed like a kid, like I can't even really think of, like a kid whose parents just told him he can have like a second dessert, where I was just like stomping around the room like, yes, yes. Just really, really. I mean, when Dom has that fucking tackle, when John Cena is just the most casual zip line of all time, not even remotely having fun, miserable during the time. Tom Terrell comes through like Terry Tate, the office linebacker, and puts him through a brick wall. I mean, there's samurai swords. There are 10 million unbelievable parts. Also, I do want to give a shout out to John Cena. Brings up a pretty good point when he says, it's all about family and you haven't talked to me in 20 years.
What's the percentage chance though that like they're allies by the end of the movie?
100%. 100%.
Like, because that was the thing with you got to go that route, but I just wanted to know, like, eventually you're going to get to that. I'm just wondering if they're going to do that with that movie, or they're going to have like a larger John Cena's bad guy arc. Because you also have was Charlize Theron? Is she like
Cypher?
Is she a bad guy, or is she kind of because I mean that's kind of the looming threat, right? And at some point, like
I've heard rumors about who the next bad guy is. It's going to blow your fucking dicks off.
Tom Cruise.
I've heard tales, whispers in dark corners of the Fast and Furious web.
Well, what is it? Tell us.
It's
speculation. It's not a spoiler.
It's total speculation. Haven't heard it from anybody.
So you just made this up is what you're saying.
I mean, I heard it from somebody. I honestly don't even know if I'm supposed to be saying anything. I'm out. I'm not doing it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to press you.
It's just...
Justin Long.
Justin Timberlake. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Jeff D. Lowe's not here, so I can't. This reference isn't really going to hit as hard as it would have. But I'm Will McAvoy. I'm not giving my sources. I'll go to jail.
This is Jeff Daniels.
We're newsroom. We're newsroom people. We know. We understand.
Well, but Jeff hates it, and I love it.
Is it Keanu?
It's not Keanu, but it's someone on a level higher than Keanu.
Okay.
Tom Cruise.
It had to be Tom Cruise.
Gonna be a bad guy again.
See, but I was holding out hope Tom Cruise would be a bad guy in the John Wick universe.
Just a bad guy in general again. Yeah.
Giving hints until you guess. He's black.
It can't be Idris Elba because he was already there.
Trudeau.
Justin. But also, we kind of buried the lead here. Like, they
go to space.
Pretty much told us we're going to space, baby. We're going to fucking space.
Yeah, but not
jet engines to Pontiac too.
But it's not the whole crew going to space, right? It's implied
it was Roman and Ludacris, right?
Yeah, which I think is smart. You have a B plot in space, right? Like they're off doing the other part of the episode. Like probably like what I have to guess is they're doing some shit with satellites that Dom needs because If I'm writing a Fast and the Furious movie and I'm just like, I need to keep this plot like understandable, it's like my phone is not working.
No, Drew, you're completely wrong. That's the beauty of writing for Fast and the Furious. Everything is understandable. That when nothing is not understandable, it's all understandable. They brought back the guy who died.
Like, I mean Han was dead.
They were just like, yo, Tran died, right? And they're like, no, I mean Han. Like Han died, right? Like, yeah, but that was like three movies ago.
No one ever remembers that now. You think people watching this movie have like attention spans?
Dude, Michelle Rodriguez died what, four movies ago? They brought her back two movies ago. They're just like, yeah, they give you a one episode, one movie death, and they bring you right back.
I want to note that I think the name Jacob stinks. I do not like the name Jacob, especially like the kids, like let's say Mama Toretto, right? She's naming her first kid Dom. No, hardcore, cool ass name. And she's like, yeah, Dom and Jacob. It doesn't fit at all.
No, you're right. But also a Jake's a villain. Like no one likes a Jake.
That's true. I'll admit you're right there. Well, okay. So we're also bearing part of the lead here as well, in that there was a sort of report that came out after this trailer dropped. Diesel was talking. This is weird calling him Diesel. Vin?
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't, you gotta say full Vin Diesel.
The Diesel?
I just called him Diesel. I just said Diesel.
That would be Shaq. Who may just, be is Shaq the next villain?
It's but like I ooh.
Shaq would make a lot
no,
of sense.
No, it's not an Adam Sandler movie though. That's he is like under strict contract.
It could
contract.
Be. There's nothing stopping the next Fast and Furious from being also in the Sandler.
It's absolutely true. But it is kind of weird. I can't like say like, yeah, McConaughey said this. I can't say that like, yeah, Diesel said that. It just doesn't. But Vin Sinclair. Diesel, he's talking, yeah, Mark Sinclair. He talked about something with his whole recruitment phase with John Cena for the role of Jacob. He said like they were talking about it and the idea of John Cena came up and I had a dojo, a shrine, a Dom shrine where I would go to get into character, get into that Dom state of mind. And it had all the Fast memorabilia. It had weights. It was a training center for combat I go to get ready for the movie. And that's where he met John Cena at the shrine, the Dom shrine. And he figured out this is the guy I want.
Yeah. But aren't we leaving out an important piece here? Wasn't it like the ghost of Paul Walker who said to take him?
That's what he said. He said it felt like the spirit of Paul Walker is the one who told him at the Dom Shrine.
Okay, I missed you saying that. I knew I read that. I missed you saying it out loud. I apologize.
I definitely didn't. I was waiting for that to give it more of a buildup, but you stomped on it and it was perfect. But no, you're right.
I'm sorry. That's on me.
Watch idiot.
It's fucking bizarre though. The Dom Shrine is something that's fascinating to me, and I know
it was just a wrong number, or it was just a prank phone call playing a trick on Vin Diesel. It's like, hey man, she cast John Cena. Who's this? What?
Don't worry about it. I know who that has to be.
John Cena was sick of doing the Marine, and he's been outside Vin Diesel's house just howling like the wind, like Vin. How about Johnny? He might be good for this one.
He's like throwing his voice like a ventriloquist out the door. He's like, holy shit, that was Paul.
What was the big reveal in Hobbs and Shaw? Wasn't there like a big tease? Oh, it was Ryan Reynolds, right? Being involved in the movies.
I thought that was more of a surprise.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also become very clear that Hobbs and Shaw is its own separate universe. And that there is... is going to be, not that we didn't expect it before, but like part of me expected some of this trailer just like have a scene or two where it's like, okay, like maybe like, you know, Dwayne Johnson or Jason Statham pop in to, you know, fire off like 9 rounds and then parachute out. Just like, oh, that was it. That's all the help you guys get today.
Mom's in this. Hobbs and Shaw, I saw it. I've never seen it again. I saw it in theaters. It lacks the really centerpiece of the Fast franchise. It doesn't have the same feel. It doesn't have the same vibes. It was fine. I enjoyed it in theaters. I laughed and clapped and, you know, did a couple of whoops. But Hobbs and Shaw is no Fast and Furious.
Yeah, it wasn't much about cars. It was more about the actual action. I feel like missing that aspect of the racing and, you know, diesel, horsepower, like all that shit is just not there.
Yeah, there were no fucking magnet bombs attached to parachutes. Like,
yeah,
what are we doing here if that's not happening? Although it was, I mean, when The Rock, I believe,
grips the helicopter with one arm.
He does the Captain America with a helicopter and a chain of cars, I believe.
Right? Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That had the spirit of the Fast franchise.
And Roman Reigns speared somebody in the middle of that fight. It was incredible.
That was when I learned that was his super move
or whatever,
finishing move. And I was like, wait, I saw a wrestling finishing move in a movie. And it didn't even register that that's a terrible finish move. He just tackled the guy.
Didn't The Rock do the rock bottom on Vin Diesel?
He did rock bottom. He rock bottomed someone in Hobbs and Shaw too. No,
but yeah. Oh no, he did it in fucking
Fast. It was like Fast 7 or Fast 6 or Fast 7 or like one of the first ones. Yeah, It wasn't like I'm doing the rock bottom now, sort of like wink at the camera. It was just like a move that was kind of reminiscent of the rock bottom.
When you saw it, you went, that's a fucking move. Yeah. When I saw the Roman Spears, I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, oh, he just tackled that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was another cool scene in that too that there was a great line. Idris Elba saying, I'm Black Superman. One of the greatest lines I think of it from any villain in any action movie over the last 10 years. I mean, there was definitely a lot of redeemable parts from Hobbs and Shaw.
So when is Fast 9 coming out?
May 28th.
May 28th.
Okay, so Fast 9 is actually June 25th now.
Okay, I mean, that's close enough. It's only a month away. And in terms of like release dates, that's fairly recent. Just getting used to like all the things that have been pushed back to the fall. This was like one of the first ones that they just punted the full year on, right? Remember this time last year? They're like, yeah, we're going to release this next year. And it felt like forever, but here it is.
This is when I knew coronavirus was the real deal. I was like, oh, fuck. We're making major moves now due to this pandemic situation thing. This might be something to look at.
I personally knew when people were getting really sick, but like, yeah, if it was because the movie got pushed back, then
we were still, in the full office. The whole office was there.
Well, we're not a good barometer for that.
I was like, guys, this thing might be serious because they have delayed Fast Furious 9 for a year, full year.
That was the moment, glass breaking.
I remember the IOC commissioner came out and made a statement like, we're considering pushing back the Olympics. And the only thing I blogged about was that His name was Dick Pound. I blogged about it for two paragraphs, and even the comment section was like, this is a little more serious than you're making it out to be.
But I think even he took his cues from Fast. Mm-hmm. I think that came after this.
They dictated it, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I think Paddington was the first movie to get pushed.
Paddington 2? I thought Paddington 2 was like 2 years ago.
Well,
I could have sworn there was some movie. There was some
James Bond. James Bond was the big one.
That was the big first one.
Like
yeah.
That was the one where you're kind of like, whatever. Like, this is bad. And then, but that one, I think they like kept like doing every 6 months with that. Whereas Fast and the Furious 9 was just like, you know what? Full year.
Not gonna bother.
Yeah, which probably was a smart choice, but at least it ends up with saying like, here it is. It's down the pipe. The pipe.
Exactly.
The pipe. It's coming soon.
All right, next thing, I'm going to push this one to Colin.
Speaking of wrestling finishing moves, by the way, I did that thing like I do on a bi-monthly basis where, like, before I go to bed, I watch, like, the 11-minute compilation of every Stone Cold Stunner ever delivered in the WWE.
Dude, worst one, but a bottom tier, Linda McMahon. Worst sell maybe in the history of Stone Cold Stunners.
Well, the thing that always takes, like, the thing that always blows my mind about that is, like, I know the footage has been, like, pulled from someone's VCR and then taken again via a cell phone and then compressed. The footage looks ancient. It makes me feel so old. Like the 1999 USA broadcast might as well like be on a Sega Game Gear.
Mm-hmm. Like watching the Rock actually was the greatest seller of Stone Cold finishes. Yeah. Like he would jump up in midair, like springboard himself onto the ropes. Well,
was the one of the underrated ones, maybe not underrated, but like people always talk about The Rock, but Scott Hall, Razor Ramon himself had an amazing, and it, you know, he's gigantic. So like he did almost The Rock thing where he overreacted and then sprung up into the air, but him doing it just, it looks so much more violent because he's so tall.
I'm gonna have to watch that later. All right, yeah, so we're going to push this next topic over to Coley because I know he's a huge, huge fan. They're making a sequel to the movie The Father. They're calling it The Son, and it's going to star Hugh Jackman and Laura Dern. Not a joke topic, just a very serious sequel to a movie. Coley, I know you love The Father, so give me your thoughts.
I don't believe a single thing you just said. I don't think anything you just said is real or correct.
I swear to God, it's real.
That's terrible. What I wanted to say was, like, I appreciate that the Fast franchise is what it is because it is maybe the most preposterous thing that gets greenlit. Like not even just once, like there are some strange movies that get greenlit and you're like, oh, that's funny that made it through the cracks. They keep dumping money into the Fast series and they get it all back. I'm not done, let me finish.
Okay.
They like those things make me so happy because there's clearly no like filter or like no one's like watching what they're doing. Like there is no quality control. And that's why it stretches. It's like us. It stretches its wings and it can do whatever the fuck it wants. Whoever greenlit The Son or The Father, that person is doing a bad job. They need to look at the Fast franchise and see what real cinema is like.
Okay. The Father is a very good movie. It was my sixth highest ranked movie of the last year. It's Anthony Hopkins, he has dementia. And
the last
like,
year? There were like seven movies last year.
Dude, it's a good one. It's a good one. That's all I'm saying. I didn't know that they had any plans for a sequel, but the idea of calling it The Son, like I get it, but it also seems like, you know, when you would say like, yeah, they're making a sequel to XYZ, they're calling it like XY, there's no letter after Z. That kind of sucks.
I thought this was a bit. I didn't know.
No,
making
it's very
sequel.
Real.
So where does Hugh Jackman tie in? Because he wasn't in the. I don't remember.
No, neither was Laura Dern. Neither was Laura Dern. That they're just like making a separate total thing out of it.
Hmm. Oh yeah, it was a very good movie. I want to go back to Fast and the Furious though.
It's the third time we're circling back. I can't fucking move on to a new topic. But yeah, this is the one.
I'm just kidding.
This is the movie history.
Exactly. Let's go back to it. Go back to it.
That was a joke. I know you want to talk about it. Like the thing that's most amazing to me with the Fast and the Furious is it's become a franchise. But it just started as like a bunch of people in a boardroom is like people are really into cars right now.
Yeah,
they're like souping up their cars. We should make a movie about that.
what's something we could have them steal? Oh, I don't know. VCR DVD players are expensive. Dude, Let's
Panasonic VCRs. Panasonic tube TVs and VCRs was the first one. That was the stakes.
I would have loved. I would have loved it if they would have opened up the truck and they would have been RCAs. And Dom Toretto would have been so mad. I was like, RCA, that's shit.
This fucking guy just like loves the was the cars in the first one, like a Skyline and what? It was like a Charger for Dom, but then shoot, there's other cool cars.
I feel like I've never been.
But yeah,
first time my dad picked us up. We all went to the C Fast and Furious. We were so young we couldn't drive or anything like that. And my dad picked us up, and he just got a new car. And then we were talking about like how cool the fast cars were. I swear to God, my dad drove us home just because he didn't want us to think movie stars were cooler than him. He drove us home at like 140 miles an hour.
The funny part.
Sitting shotgun, like, dude, you like. I was like 9 sitting shotgun, like, this is dangerous what you're doing with a car full of children right now.
Well, the funny part about a lot of those cars in the first Fast and the Furious, like obviously they had the NOS or whatever, but the technology, like car technology has gotten so much better and car performance has gotten so much better that like a car that used to get like 200 horsepower was considered to be relatively powerful. And then now like a Honda Odyssey gets like 285 horsepower. And so it'd be funny if like they made like, and this is just like leads me into my point, is like they're going to go into space, and then the next thing the fans are going to start asking for is time travel. Mm-hmm. So they do a Fast and the Furious time travel movie where they're able to time travel with their new better cars back to the original Fast and Furious timeline. Ooh. And just completely destroy it. Becomes a pure racing movie again.
Dude,
where they show up with like a Honda Odyssey, and they're like, like, oh, that thing's a minivan that can't do it. It just does like, you know, 0 to 60 in like 4.5 seconds because it's ECU chipped or whatever. And they just completely run over Brian Supra, and they just run over like the S2000, and they run over like all the other cars in that. That's my pitch.
Dom doing full fucking races with like his kids, Brian and O'Connor and Han, like in the car.
Dom's in one of those smart cars, like the smart city car.
He's in like the Peter Gregory car from Silicon Valley, where it's just like a fucking thin sheet.
He's got both of his arms hanging out, like his left arm hanging out the left window and his right arm hanging out the right window. It just looks like a car with two big biceps coming out of it.
I saw someone pitch Fast and Furious time travel, and then they just posted the Dale car on the beaches in Normandy.
That's proof. That picture's real. It's proof that time travel does exist.
That's why they called him the Intimidator. What the fuck is that?
That was like half British, half German.
Yeah,
I didn't want
everyone fool, was confused. That's
I didn't want to fully commit to that.
What side was Earnhardt on?
I'm tired of this topic.
It's a good question.
This is a bad riff. Okay. I don't like the territory this riff has gotten into. Okay. Get away from this.
We'll move to the next one, and is the first trailer for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead. If you guys are not familiar with it, those of you listening, it's a group of mercenaries plot a heist on a Las Vegas casino during a zombie outbreak. It's got Dave Bautista, Hiroyuki Sanada, Amari Hardwick, and it's from Zack Snyder, his first big movie that we're going to see since the Snyder Cut. Did you guys see the trailer for Army of the Dead?
Yeah, I thought it kicked ass.
I had an immediate problem with it.
Why? Shoot. Like, what do you do with money and the apocalypse?
No,
like,
obviously, clearly money there's a society outside of Vegas, so I get the need for money. However, there are 6 people, and they very much make it clear in the trailer that these are smart zombies who like fucking can talk. And there's hundreds of thousands of them. They're either not that smart, because how did they get walled off and stuck in there? Or they're very smart, and 6 people surely is not enough to pull off this heist.
It is kind of strange. Like, I watch hate the movies where to zombies. Find out. Exactly. There's your pitch. I hate movies where zombies are smart. Almost like you know, in 28 Days Later, when they start getting smart towards the end. Like, I love 28 Days Later or 28 Weeks Later, even. Like, whenever they get smart, I want them to be slow moving, like to the point where the only way they can beat the humans is by sheer numbers and humans fucking something up. Like, I don't want them to be smart or fast. If they're both like they are in this movie, we're all just fucked. Like, there's no way humans live through that.
I don't want to live through a zombie apocalypse regardless of like the physical attributes of the said zombie.
I don't want to live through any apocalypse. Whenever people are like,
you're doing it now, coward.
Yeah.
This is an apocalypse. This is a pandemic. We hit apocalypse status. We're talking a different story.
People are like
whenever people have these questions, like, oh, like, this is my apocalypse shelter. This is my fucking fallout shelter. I am running steadfast into what's going to kill me because I have no desire to live in a basement the rest of it. What the fuck do I care about that for? There's no fucking...
Subsiding off the nacho cheese in the Jim Baker bucket. That
like,
doesn't.
Oh, thank God we live, boys. This is awesome. Thank God. What the fuck do I want to live that for?
Jim Baker bucket, dude. We ordered one of those. Me, PFT, and Jeff ordered one for radio, and we're gonna have it sent in, and we're gonna make it. And they never fucking sent it. Like, we spent like $100 on it, and they just like Jim Baker and his televangelist guys. They never sent us our bucket of our fajita bucket. That's what it was. It was like rice.
Fajita shortage.
Yeah, I can't blame him. He just sent us an email. Sorry for the
fajita shortage. They ran out of tortillas. And
the key to a zombie apocalypse, though, if you do want to be a zombie, you got to make that decision immediately. The more zombies you let stack up, the less you're going to turn and the more you're just going to get torn limb from limb. They never talk about that. The early zombies get to walk around and be zombies. The later you wait to be a zombie, you're just fish food.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You're just starving too, nonstop.
Like, yeah, but less and less. I agree with you. The whole point of the zombie is like what is life completely stripped of its humanity and consciousness, right? So for zombies to have conscience. I was trying to weave that into a Jay-Z monster verse, but
Cole, you got there.
Do you have trouble watching zombie stuff?
Me? Like,
yeah, because I always associate it when I see like holes in the faces and stuff, I associate it with dip.
Well, now I will.
I'm like, I can't do it. I'm out. I have a really hard time watching zombie things. It hits a little too close to home. Just like people who don't give a shit about anything and their faces falling apart. I'm like, that's me in 15 years tops.
that, like I said, that hadn't crossed my mind. Most zombie stuff is just like kind of the same. That's why I don't like, I like that there's a little bit of a twist here. There's a zombie tiger, which I appreciated, but I don't know. I'm still not all the way in on Snyder. We'll have to see.
The funny part about the zombie thing is I thought like 5 years ago this was a trend and that the whole zombie trend was going to end, but the zombie's here to stay.
Isn't this the first thing since then? I mean, Walking Dead obviously continued, but no one watches it. Or I think everyone watches it.
No, that's like a WeWork for people in Atlanta. Like, I don't know how that works. Like, there's no way people are still watching it.
So, I mean, I compared to the big vampire boom of 2008 with... The Twilight franchise is inspired.
They're not zombies.
Well, no, but like that faded out. Like people stopped. But that faded out. Like people stopped caring about vampires. But like zombie media has continuously been released. You think about like the Last of Us games, and now it's getting a show. That's a different type of zombie. And then the 28 Days Later. And so, you know, maybe it's just that zombies have just always been around. They've just been there. And I just thought it was going to be cyclical and that we'd go back to vampires. I thought vampires would get a moment again, but no, more zombies.
The only vampires zombie again. Movie I've ever seen was World War Z. I know it's a deep cut, but we're on a movie podcast, so we'll talk about it.
Plan B Entertainment.
Great film.
With the book, by the way, I read that book in high school and I'm never a read the book guy. The World War Z book was phenomenal. Nothing to do with the movie at all. Like they're just, the name is totally separate from the actual movie, it's a great book.
It has the greatest ending sentence of all time. And I'm gonna open up my book and read it here. And the Z stands for zombie.
All right. By the way.
I'm glad I found that out at the end of the book.
Yes. Oh, now I see why they're scared.
By the way, I had an awesome tweet about the zombie tiger. I said that's what they call Tiger, the golfer when he's out looking for brain. Not nearly enough likes on that. I thought that was a phenomenal tweet. But anyway, no better time to move on to our next ad, which comes to you courtesy of Trifecta Nutrition. Trifecta is the best meal prep on earth. All of our meal plans, or their meal plans in this case, are created by chefs and nutritionists to help people get into the best shape of their lives. They make meal prep not suck. We all hate meal prep. I don't even know if you guys do it. I tried it a couple times. It's done with it. They sent us a bunch of meal prep stuff. I know I got some at my... I think my mom's house, and it was awesome. She loved them too. She was fucking all over that stuff. And it makes meal prep not suck. All of their meals are backed by nutrition science and they taste great. They help you get in the best shape of your life, which is honestly something probably all four of us can do for right now, I would say. We want to get in the best shape of our life, don't you? I'm basically politely saying we're all not in the best shape of our lives.
That is fair. I'm not in the best shape of my life. I'm in bad shape.
It's a bona fide fact. And food, well, not the out of shape thing. It's just that we are all
I have a lot of diarrhea.
Yeah. And we all do. It's you know how you can get rid of that? With great quality.
Not eating Jim Baker bucket cheese.
Not eating the fajita bucket from Jim Baker. Their food quality is amazing. They have fresh food, farm to fork supply train. They're never frozen. They use organic produce. They have gluten-free options. They have meat that is animal welfare 5, which is the highest possible. They have fully cooked food. Don't waste time cooking and cleaning. It is an awesome, awesome service. Once again, we got some before, both me and Jeff, and it is incredible. You can shop meal plans right now and get 40% off meal prep with code LIGHTS. Go to trifectanutrition.com/lights for this exclusive offer. trifectanutrition.com/lights. All right, now we can get into the second half. The first item on news on second half of this, it's going to be Kevin James playing Sean Payton in the Netflix movie Home Team. The movie covers Payton's suspension in 2012 and his time spent coaching his son's sixth grade football team.
Probably not really in depth, right? Like, we're just going to gloss over some of the details there, I'd have to imagine. part of acquiring the rights of that was actually diving into to why.
I would imagine, like,
is he playing?
What's happening in Las Vegas? So the NFL is not playing this year. So Kevin, why don't you teach the kids this year?
Is he playing Sean Payton, or is he playing a Sean Payton like is this?
He's playing literally Sean Payton.
He's playing Sean Payton. That's weird. Yeah. I mean, that's not weird, but like,
it's weird. It's a little like. Do you think Kevin James is going to method act this? Do you think he's going to fucking drop weight? Because like. Sean Payton's a pretty just straight up regular guy. Kevin James is pretty famously larger than average guy.
I think he would freely admit that.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna like drop weight? Or is he
just like probably not. I don't think, especially with Netflix and Kevin James's relationship, they're not gonna be like, "Yo, dude, you gotta lose 100 pounds, or we're not gonna cast you as Sean Payton for this kid's movie."
Easy 100 pounds. I'm gonna check their two sizes right now.
It would be a drastic amount of weight to lose, and I don't think it's necessary in this case, because this movie is definitely, like you were saying, Trill, not going to be face value. It's going to be very much like, oh, I suddenly aren't able to coach in the NFL, and now I'm going to coach my son's team. And then it's going to be just a nonstop basic stream of references to Saints shit, where it's going to be like, hey, kid, I taught this same route to Robert Meacham in 2010. He ran a 4.6, and he went to Tennessee. He was a great player.
I feel like they're just going to remake School of Rock with this. The Sean Payton character knows what he's doing a little more than the Jack Black character. But it's like, you know, you have a lovable ragtag group of kids. And then Sean Payton uses his learnings from the NFL to mold them into to achieve their dream, whatever, like whatever ad lib stuff you want to put in there. And everybody's going to learn something, and it's going to end with like a John Fogerty song. It's going to be fun.
Sean Payton is 5'11", 200 pounds. Kevin James is 5'8", 300 pounds.
Yeah. That's a
significant difference in look here. Like, you have to lose a couple of pounds.
Yeah, you got to think, and I'm sure if they gave him the option, because obviously studios do that, like, hey, here's a personal trainer, nutritionist, and all that shit, he would probably, I would assume, maybe do it, because it makes life much easier.
I wouldn't do it, not for this movie. This is a good one. I wouldn't do it for this movie. I don't think, first off, Kevin James is beautiful. He doesn't have to change a damn thing about himself.
Second off, but Kevin James was also just a Nazi in a movie called
Very Best. True. Great so movie.
If he's going to be a Nazi, might as well drop a couple. You don't have to lose the whole 100, but drop a couple.
I'm not following that line of reasoning.
It's like you're dedicating yourself to the craft now. You're not just being a yucks guy. Now you're like, I'll play a Nazi, whatever.
We're talking about a movie where he's Sean Payton. Like, this is not the same as being a Nazi.
It is. The guy's been fucking suspended from the NFL. I think we're pretty close at this point.
Well, by that logic, you just called Tom Brady a Nazi.
Oh boy, you fucking put me in a box there, didn't you?
let's press the ejector seat on this portion of the conversation.
Yeah,
and let's find ourselves in a territory where I'm like, I guess I get what you're saying in terms of like maybe Kevin James is at a point in his career where he doesn't want to be associated with Paul Blart anymore, and he wants to do other things that are non-Paul Blart related. But at the same time, it's like for this movie, you know, something that is going to appear on the Netflix banner one day. There's going to be one day, the day it first gets released, and it's like, come watch the Saint.
What are they going to call it? Home team.
Come watch Home Team, number one in the U.S. right now. And then you log back in the next day, and it's more Grace and Frankie. I'm never going to watch that show, Netflix. Stop putting it up there. I would have watched it by now, as much as you recommend it.
Not gonna Georgia, do it. Now streaming.
Can I say that I have high hopes for this film, because I think the bar is so low that it's going to surprise all of us. I bet this is a good movie. I'm going to call it right now.
I mean, it's just going to be like Blindside? You think it's just going to, you know?
I'm not going to say they're going to be winning Oscars for it, but I think everyone's going to go, you know what? That was a pretty pleasant way to spend an hour and a half.
Yeah, because Kevin James could do anything for an hour and a half, and I'd be like, yeah, that was time well spent. I want to know what, like, the Kevin Jamesification he's going to bring to Sean Payton, like where he's gonna put his own little spin on it. I think he keeps the visor and headset on the entire movie, never takes it off.
In bed too, like he's going to the pool,
shower, like he's just wearing it constantly.
What are the odds that he farts in a huddle? 100%?
100%.
That's how he gets kids to like relate to him.
Yeah, he's yelling at them about a bad snap or something, and he just farts, and then everyone has to run sprints afterwards because Kevin farted and he's embarrassed about it.
It's definitely going to go. My prediction: this is going
Drew Brees make a cameo?
No.
Well, he's retired though, so he has time to do this.
You fucking still do a movie when you're not retired. You don't have to be retired.
I know, but you kind of feel like that would just tie the whole thing together, right? If Drew Brees made a cameo as himself with Kevin James
playing. Hey, kid, catch.
Per that suspension, he couldn't make contact with.
True. Yeah.
It's just, what if Drew Brees makes a cameo as a guy in the crowd with like those fake Marx Brothers glasses on.
You guys showed up. Yeah, that's the new Twitter account. Yeah, you guys showed up.
Yeah.
By the way, is this like one of the all-time twists, really, that like Sean Payton, because it was suspended without pay for the season, right? And then I imagine he sold his life rights for this movie. You think he made more than he would have made that season?
It's amazing how big of
$5 million I think he lost, by the way.
It's roughly amazing how big of a deal this was at the time, and I remember nothing about it.
Well, it would be nice if the kids had, like, if the team stunk, so he just, like, told his defenders to, like, hit the quarterback, like, 5 seconds after he threw it. Like, a little nod to Bounty Gate.
Yeah, Greg Williams comes in for practice one day, and he's like, all right, kids, I gotta go to the doctor. Coach Greg's gonna handle the day. Greg Williams just hands fucking wrenches to everyone.
You wanna win?
I still love the idea of Drew Brees showing up being like, hey, kid, all right, I'm about to leave and go do my appearance on Oprah, but have fun, gang.
Yeah, Drew Brees shows up to practice to show him how to stand as straight as possible for the anthem.
Kid's like kneeling down to tie his shoes. What the fuck? I have a show you running here, Sean.
No.
I don't know. It's a fucking goofy looking movie. Next thing up, Lucy Liu has been cast in Shazam, Fury of the Gods, the sequel, as the villain Calypso. As a note, Calypso is not a Shazam or DC comic character. Instead, like her sister, Hespera, who's going to be played by Helen Mirren in Shazam Fury of the Gods. Calypso comes from Greek mythology. Both are daughters of Atlas, who is one of the titans of ancient Greece and part of the acronym that makes up Shazam. Not even going to bother look up what that acronym is, but I mean, Lucy Liu's badass. I think that's cool.
I love Lucy Liu. I don't particularly care about Shazam, but Lucy Liu being in it makes me care about it a little more. If Jeff was here, I'd pretend to care about Shazam, to be polite.
Is he a big Shazam guy?
No, but you know, when he's presenting the news, I think he expects a certain level of engagement out of us.
He's a journalism major, don't forget.
Yeah, and so if he's like, oh, Shazam's coming out, then I have to be like, you know, like Shazam wasn't that bad. So I have high hopes for Shazam too. And now I'm just like, it's going to come out and I'm going to watch it. And then immediately I'm going to see it at a gas station in 15 years and be like, okay, you know, that was.
I've never seen Shazam, but I did see Zachary Levi at Sirius Radio back when we used to do like interviews and shit there. We were interviewing him. I just saw him getting into the elevator. He is one of the most movie star looking movie stars I've ever seen. He looked fantastic.
He's tall.
And he's tall. He had on a, it was the winter. He had on a really nice coat. His hair was done. Again, I haven't seen the movie. Big but head? If anything was going to sell me on it, it was him getting into that elevator. He looked beautiful.
Huge head?
Huge head. I was seeing. I wasn't that close to him. I saw him from across the hall. So I can't really gauge his head size, but he was just – he was movie star looking. You could see him in, from across the hall and go, oh, that's somebody.
What was the show, Chuck? You're just like, hey, Chuck.
Chuck.
That was actually a pretty good show. I liked Chuck.
Like Chuck. Chuck had a devout following.
Yeah. Yvonne Strahovski, one of the most beautiful women on the planet. Zachary Levi, he didn't have it at that time, but he since obtained the hotness. It was Chuck was a formidable show.
Shazam is fun. I think you would like Shazam. It's like no, I think it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's very goofy. It's definitely one of the most lighthearted DC movies. So maybe something you could get into.
It was pretty enjoyable. It was enjoyable. So I don't mean to berate Shazam here, but I'll get more excited for Shazam 2 when we see some Shazam promo.
You know who was in Shazam, right? One of your favorites.
I don't remember anymore.
One of your favorite actors. One of your favorite actors that you mentioned all the time. No. Well, it's more minor actor, although I'm not saying like Steve Zahn is like a fucking A-lister, but like it's a guy that you always bring up specifically for Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, Adam Brody.
Yeah, Adam Brody was in that.
I'll always love anybody associated with the OC.
Dude, we've interviewed two people from the OC on KFC Radio. We've done Adam Brody like two or three times, and then we did, I forget the other guy's
Ben
name.
Ben McKenzie.
Ben McKenzie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And both times we just start the interviews like, hey, just so you know, me and Kevin, both of us have never seen the OC. We're the only two people on the planet. And they're both like, all right, so what do you want to talk about? And like, we don't even know.
That's kind of, I think when me and Jeff did McKenzie, like it was almost the same thing. I think we asked Trill for questions because like Trill is a big OC guy, but like I wasn't. I don't think Jeff was much of one either.
I don't do much interviewing, but I never like you never know what that line. You almost want a questionnaire beforehand where it's like, how comfortable are you talking about the thing that you're most famous from that you probably have moved on from?
What were you saying, Coley?
I was going to say I used to have a teacher who only gave bonus questions on tests that were OC based. I didn't watch the show. So I was like, I complained. I was like, everyone else in the class is an unfair advantage here. Like, I'm not watching this dog shit show. No offense.
Was that in high school?
Yeah.
You know what? The thing at the time is you're probably like, this teacher's so old, but then now they're probably like 27.
Oh. No, I knew he was trying to, like, he was younger. Like, he was the wrestling coach too. So he was like all jacked up always. And he just got like super into the OC. And I was just like, this is, can you ask me like about anything else? Like, can I get a separate bonus question, please?
That's the thing that always blows my mind is how, like, I remember when I was 18 and my mind would perceive anybody over the age of 25 as physically 54 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In high school, every teacher was like under 30 years old. It's insane. And they were all sluts. They were all hooking up with everyone. It was horrible.
Oh, Jerry Thornton's dream. Shit. All right. Anyway. Next thing up,
each other, not the students, but yeah, that also.
Next thing up, the last thing, last item of news, Peter Dinklage and Jacob Tremblay are going to star in the reboot of The Toxic Avenger, which is considered a Deadpool-like subversion of the superhero genre. Basically, guy falls into toxic waste, gets super size, super strength, and becomes like a crime fighter, but everyone doesn't like him because he looks gross and disgusting. He looks like, what's his name from Goonies?
Me.
Bloth. Oh, man. You gotta love yourself.
It's like an old school cult classic.
The fact that it swears and stuff.
There's definitely gonna be swears and a lot of gore, I would imagine, and just a lot of just really disgusting stuff. The original movie is like more of like a splatter movie. It's like just a lot of guts and gore and trying to think of how else to put it. It's a gross movie, but in a I think purposeful way, which is kind of cool sometimes.
Wasn't the Toxic Avenger guy in that Blockbuster documentary?
He sure was for 5 seconds. And he was so, made the filmmakers obviously so uncomfortable that they left and cut the interview short.
Got to include the clips, though.
Yeah.
I like Jacob Tremblay's parents, or maybe his agents, whoever's doing it, probably his parents, where like it seems like he's just always in movies that are far too old for him. Like even was it Good Kids or is it Bad?
Good Boys.
Good Boys. Which is like, he's going to say cunt a lot. I'm like, all right, yeah. Why?
How old is he? He's 14 now. I feel like he's been a kid.
Someone
forever.
Was going to take that role. Why not my boy?
Yeah. It'd be funny if we just have our kids swear a lot. All right. What if he goes on and he's a toxic Avenger? He just swears. Jacob Tremblay is a good actor. Why does he keep falling into this bit where he just swears?
I don't know. I just everything I know about stage parents, I learned from VH1 in like 1999. So I probably have like an outdated view, but let me just say my perception of stage parents of like previous generations were very negative. I hope that whole ecosystem has improved, because that's got to be a tough thing to like encourage your kid to do. And I hope the kid likes it. But
I have bad news for you. I'm going to guess stage parents have devolved. I'm going to get
much worse.
I'm trying to be positive here. Yeah. Where they're just, I don't know. I guess if your kid likes acting, like you want to get them to pursue their passion, but then it's always got to be a weird feeling when that confluence of your passion meets with like what you're saying, a script where it's just like the whole joke is that the kid's going to say swear words. And I think all that's probably soothed that at the end of the day, when you get that like $4 million paycheck or whatever, and you put, if you're a stage parent, you put $15,000 of that into the kid's savings and then buy a house. I'm just kidding.
Then you buy a brand new Toyota Supra to drive home your kids in from Fast and Furious. All right. We're going to go into our now review for Nobody. Fights and Coley are going to hop off, and then they will come right back for our draft, which I just realized I didn't mention at the top, our draft of action movie protagonists. So let's do it. Let's review a movie, Trill. All right, now it's time to do our little review of a certain movie called Nobody. Nobody, if you haven't seen the movie yet, just a quick little synopsis. Hutch Mansell. He fails to defend himself and his family when two thieves break into a suburban home one night. In the aftermath of the incident, he strikes a match in his long simmering rage. Barrage of fists, gunfire, and squealing tires, Hutch must now save his wife and son from a dangerous adversary and ensure that he will never be underestimated again. Directed by Ilya Naishuler, and it stars Bob Odenkirk, Christopher Lloyd, and Connie Nielsen. Trill, you start us off. What did you think of Nobody?
Yeah, so like Nobody's not perfect, and I give it a 75. It's a very solid movie. It's very, very enjoyable. More than anything, though, it felt like a proof of concept for like Bob Odenkirk in this type of role. That's not really a surprise if like you followed Bob Odenkirk's like career at all, because he's been in so many things and he's been so good at what he's done for as consistent of a period of time. Just going back to like even, you know, being on an SNL cast member and being a writer on that, to like having been in Breaking Bad and of course like very critically acclaimed Better Call Saul run, which I think has exceeded people's expectations. So the question was never there in terms of Bob Odenkirk, like can he act or not? But I think this was more putting him into a action movie type of framework. And I thought it worked really well. Like, the promo or like my initial perception coming in is it seemed Wickian, and I think as you watch that, like I guess like that kind of exists in by way of just like having a backstory that unravels or is kind of left to the viewer's imagination until you kind of figure out later what everything had gone on and, you know, his past and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I had no major complaints with it. Like, I thought it was fun. Like, I love Bob Odenkirk, so I was a big fan of this. It just for as much as we talked about it, there's like I don't know, like set up a conversation about it. I don't know what to talk about, but it was very enjoyable.
Yeah, so it has the same producer as John Wick, David Leitch. Well, the producer of this is the director of John Wick with David Kolstad, who I believe wrote it. I think,
but when you watch it though, it's different, yes. Right? Like it's not, I'm not like trying, like when I say it's Wickian, I'm not trying to say like, no, this is John Wick just with a different actor, or like whatever, but it's got its own vibe, which is nice, but like, it's easy to draw the parallels just because you know, even if you look at the poster of Nobody, like you just got this like, you know, gruff face of Bob Odenkirk being punched and whatnot. It throws off the vibes. Like, I think in terms of the marketing, it's like intentionally trying to draw a parallel, but it's its own thing, which was nice.
Yeah, I mean, it stars a lot of the back end crew is a lot of the same people as John Wick, and I think that comparison was intentional. Like the poster is even the same as I believe the John Wick 2 poster with all the guns pointed at him. That might have been the John Wick 3
poster. Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, it's intentional. And I think, and if you watch my video review of this, I'm going to have some of the same thoughts regurgitated because it's just how I feel about the movie. What I liked about the movie was like it was almost had this like semi-parody, semi-actual action vibe to it, right? Like it felt like they were very purposely parodying movies like John Wick, like The Accountant, and like you got little bits and pieces of all these like new wave action movies in it, but it was also parodying them while also giving a sort of independently cool action story. And like I never connected with the character of Hutch in the way that I did with like a John Wick or even like the, you know, The Accountant fan. But like at the same time, like I wanted to see where his story went. And I think Odenkirk was really, really good. And I think his prep work for it, which I was watching some like behind the scenes clips of his like training for with stunt choreo guys and all that. And like he really poured a lot into this, which is nice. Like it's crazy to think like it's Bob Odenkirk. And I think the way he portrayed the role kind of helped me shatter that little preconception I had going into the movie, because like as much as I do think Bob Odenkirk is a great actor, when you sell it to me as like Bob Odenkirk is now John Wick, I'm like, no fucking way. It's Bob Odenkirk. He's the funny man, maybe dramatic man, but he's not the action man. So I think he did a great job of shattering that. Christopher Lloyd though stole the fucking show. He was awesome, wasn't he?
Yeah. And Christopher Lloyd's like, I mean, obviously his presence looms large over everything he's in, but it's easy to, I mean, it's hard not to like watch Christopher Lloyd in anything and be like, it's immediately entertaining is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. He was awesome. I think he really like, he played into the role well, and it's his character. Like that grandpa is so fucking absurd, like just ridiculous that I think that it made the character that much better. And the only character that I didn't love was Yulian, the Russian guy, like the main antagonist of the movie. And that's, I think partially because like, I think when he was like doing this, the singing and interacting with the Russian mob guys, I loved that part because like he was going over the top. He was cool. He was menacing. But then they tried to have him do like the witty banter in English with the other characters. And I don't think that worked. And it felt like a little bit of a struggle for him. And I just kind of almost wish he was speaking Russian the entire movie. I mean, if you're having this guy like, the like Hutch is like the auditor or whatever, I'm just assuming he's a guy who can speak Russian, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't have a big problem with that. Like I don't know, like it's hard to have like really any in-depth thoughts on this other than I liked it. You know what I'm saying?
So I think the good way to do it then is to break it down into some scenes. And so if you're haven't watched it yet, I'll highly recommend not watching, because we're just going to talk about some scenes really quick. The opening fight with not the home invasion, but the fight on the bus, I thought was awesome. Not only just because, you know, it doesn't show like he just flips the switch, Odenkirk that is, or Hutch, and just immediately becomes like fucking John Wick and just kills everybody. It shows him getting the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Like the absolute shit torn out of him.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes into like his character, that, you know, like is just the guy who's fucking beat down on life. It's like good characterization, I guess, because I know you said you can't really relate to him like the way you did John Wick, but like, you know, like kind of like being in a fucking, like being an office drone or whatever, like, and having this like pretty, you know, remarkable backstory, like as you learn later in the movie or whatever and unfolds, and then like getting the shit beat out of you, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say it's like immediately relatable, but like I can almost like put myself in that situation where it's just like, okay, I give up. Like this sucks.
Yeah, exactly. I was much more, I think, and you're right on that. And that like that part of it was more relatable, but I think the point I was trying to make is like I connected with John Wick's story more than I did with Hutch, if that makes sense. And again, part of it, like this movie is more, I would say, semi-parody, and that's totally fine. He's supposed to be like a little ridiculous, right? Like, and that works.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're bringing in the family dynamic. Like, he still is a guy who has a family, whereas John Wick is like has had everything taken away from him. Like, I'd say like Hutch's character, like he suppressed that shit in order to like go to this really non-glamorous life, and then kind of like almost rediscovered his joy for life via this. I wouldn't directly say that, but you know, I don't know, that's the way I kind of read it.
Mm-hmm.
But the bus was, I mean, that was cool because it like, you know, it established early on, like, that it wasn't going to be like John Wick, like you're saying, in terms of like John Wick immediately grabbing the gun and killing 13 people right off the bat. Like, this is a guy who just, you know, you didn't really know at that point what he was. I mean, you kind of know going into it, like, you know, something special about him, but he grows into it.
And we were watching right in the beginning, like during the home invasion scene, during the scene with like his shithead brother-in-law, you're like the whole time you're like, oh, you know, we could beat the shit out of this person. Oh, you know, we could kill this person. And instead of it being just like that, it's like he's in a serious like life or death fight, getting crap beat out of him, getting his face smashed. It's like breaking that dude's fucking arm across the pole of the bus. And the scene like where he gets thrown out of the bus and then like goes back in. It's just, I loved everything about that moment. That fight scene was incredible. Apart from that, there was, I think, a lot of funny moments peppered within, and one of which being the scene where Julian like confronts the goons in the hospital and he throws the fucking chair at the guy's face. It was so unexpected. I fucking cackled laughing. Like, it is so good. Just beating the shit out of him with the chair and the guy can't even move because he's like braced up. Like, that killed me.
Was that, I mean, is that kind of what you meant with like this, the Julian character? Like, he was kind of funnier when he was more ruthless and like less like wordy, I guess. It's more like action oriented, or like, I don't know, there is kind of like a sick comedy via like violence in this, which I think like does put it on a little more of a comedic route, where it's just like, I think the violence kind of provides a juxtaposition to this like pretty traditional lifestyle that the Hutch character is living in. Mm-hmm. Which I think like what you're saying is like that's where I drew like the comedy like elements of it from, because it's just this guy being thrust into this very violent world again.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's basically
the violence is also used, like you're saying, in that like sense of like a comedic thing, which can be funny.
Yeah, he was just like over the top psychopath, and that's where I like the character of Julian the most. I think apart from that, the big scene that stood out to me was just the whole third act like Home Alone bit, which I thought was awesome. Just the whole setup of like how they put everything together in the machine shop, when like, what's his name, his brother and Christopher Lloyd show up, like, so great. And I think that was, more than anything else, very entertaining, right? And in a movie like this, the one thing you really want out of it is just to be purely entertained, even if it doesn't come together in a perfect way, just fucking entertain me, right?
Yeah, well, and that's where I thought this, like when I was saying, is differentiated itself over John Wick, is like, whereas like, well, the first John Wick, you know, I mean, I guess you do get like the scene at the end with, was it John Bernthal?
And John Wick? Yeah. An accountant is John Bernthal.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's his brother or something. I'm mixing up the two. Well, like, I'll compare the two. I mean, I'll compare the three, though. Like, John Wick, you get very little like characterization in terms of him having like people to work with. Like, and the people that he does work with aren't like inherently trustworthy, right?
Yeah.
Because they do eventually like go after him. I think he picks up a few allies or like tentative allies along the way. Whereas the accountant, like, I guess like this kind of reminded me more of that, is because like, you do have the whole like family business tying into it and whatnot. And it is nice to get that dynamic of like the Hutch character having co-conspirators in this as well, which differentiates itself from like the lone wolf John Wick sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that's why it was almost like a blend of all these different sort of new wave action guys, which is sick. The one part I didn't love about this movie is the way they blended music in it, because it felt sort of jarring almost at times, and put a quarter in the fucking jarring jar. But like there's like these moments where they do like those big orchestral like overtones and all that. And then that would happen for like, it would be on and off for like 30 minutes straight, but then there'd be an hour of, or another half hour where there's no music. Like, and that to me just was very abrasive, I'll say, for as a viewer.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I guess you're right. Like, I didn't really notice it. I will say like the one thing is like the runtime on this is short. Like, it's a pretty short movie. It's only 90 minutes. So, I mean, it didn't give me a whole lot of time to sit around, like think about like what was going on, but like, how would you have like provided more? Cause I know like the orchestral music gets used a lot in this to kind of like heighten the, you know, like you always think of like the, you know, big action scene set with like some sort of, I'm sorry, I'm going to cough some choir behind it, which like, know, obviously you have this like really nice, like angelic voice singing as somebody shoots guns. So it kind of serves as this like comedy in itself to say like, this is something incredibly violent happening up against this music that's supposed to be peaceful or supposed to be like angelic or like sacred or almost. Like, would you like have had more music, or would you just have not had the, like the orchestra type music, or would you have like different music in there, or would it just been more consistent?
I think just blended better and just a little bit more consistent maybe. And again, part of that is like, this is almost like you're saying like that they do this in other action movies. That's part of like this semi parody vibe that the movie has, which is like, you know, this is with on purpose. Like they're using this sort of thing because it's used in all these other action movies as well. And so like, I get it. I just think that maybe got a little bit lost in the sauce there and just felt a little abrasive as a viewer. And I think that the genre fluidity that I'm talking about also sort of hurt, because at the end of the movie, I wanted it to be more in one direction. It felt like a split 50-50 of like trying to be an actual action movie and 50% like doing the semi-parody. And like, I wanted it to be heavier lean in one direction. And it didn't ruin the movie at all. I gave it an 85, but it did definitely bother me a little bit. It kept it from being great.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like it, I mean, it was funny at parts, but I don't know. Like, I think you're right in saying like, I didn't take it as much as a comedy. Like, I think obviously there was some like funny stuff there in terms of like, I don't know. This is like a really weird way to view it, but like sometimes when things like have like a lot of, you know, violence in them, like there's some inherent comedy to it just from like almost a filmmaker, like winking to you, like that this is what I'm getting away with, or this is supposed to be so overlandish and over the top, or outlandish and over the top, that it's like funny. I'm not saying like the violence, like as a concept is funny, but just like how it's utilized sometimes in action movies, especially like action movies that involve like a lot of like deaths, in order to like almost like sting the, or like dull the viewer's mind in terms of like perceiving that a lot of deaths are happening, and almost kind of just like dehumanizes it to a point where it like takes you out of it and makes it almost like a, like obviously like this is a movie sort of vibe to it.
Yeah. I think that one interview I always go back to, and I mention this interview all the time, but the one we had with Sam Hargrave, who directed Extraction, second unit director on a bunch of shit. But he always says, like, through action, tell stories, right? Like, if you're having, like, a big action sequence and it's not advancing your narrative, then there's no point in having it. And I don't think that this movie suffers from that. Like, the action all is there's a point to it, right? Like, it's giving you some sort of characterization for the character of Hutch. So I think that worked for it. And I think that it helped the movie more than anything else be entertaining.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's also like, it's like John Wick in that regard, in that like the violence is the characterization, right? Like the action is the characterization, in the sense of like, you know, is John Wick like a man who like swore this life off, getting back into it and being like super proficient at it despite like, you know, giving it up, like. You know, obviously, like the way that movie explains his pain is through like just the sheer amounts of terror and killing he inflicts on the bad guys. Whereas in this movie, I think it serves to like put the Hutch character back into this place where he used to be before, but it's like more of an adventure for the audience to kind of uncover the pieces in terms of like who he actually is, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought it worked well from that sense. The Home Alone scene was fun. Like I thought the way they killed Julian was very entertaining.
Yes.
So I did think like the action had a lot of thought put behind it. So I have like no complaints on that regard. I just, the ending was like, I don't know, it was predictable in the sense that like, it just is like a, obviously trying to establish a franchise almost.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're setting up. They started off with the ending, essentially.
What's that?
They started off the movie with the ending, essentially, too. So you knew what was going to go down.
Right, but I'm like talking about, there was a credit scene, right? Where just was like
driving off.
Like, it was just like the Christopher Lloyd and like, you know, RZA. Father and son buddy action movie, which like I'm definitely not opposed to, but it's like. You didn't get like, I mean, you got an ending, but it obviously is very action movie minded in the sense that like, you know, we're not done, right? Like this could be something else if we wanted it to be.
Yeah. And actually the I want to say Derek Kolstad, who wrote this and obviously the John Wick movies, he actually mentioned that, like, because people asked him, like, are you interested in folding this into the John Wick universe? And he said he's not opposed.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, though, because John Wick is, I don't know.
It's such a, I feel like as similar as these movies are, they are very different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're almost like two different types of, like, killers, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, John Wick is like this almost comic book hitman, whereas, like, I feel like Hutch's character is like, that's closer to the accountant. Like, didn't they call him the accountant in this one?
The auditor.
Yeah.
Which is, again, that's part of the semi-parody, I would assume.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, that, yeah, that is, like, a trope in these, like, things to have, like, a very, like, business-oriented word to, you know, describe someone who's...
I'm the comptroller.
An assassin. Yeah, I'm the... I'm trying to think of something. Like, I'm the director of human resources.
That would be the worst one. That's the one.
Yeah. So, like, but this one felt like, I don't know, a little more grounded in that sense of, like, just the character's capabilities. I mean, compared to John Wick, right? Like, there's only one way to go.
Yeah, John Wick was doing shit that we could never do. But, like, I feel like Hutch's moves and the way he fought people was very much, like, you could see a human fighting like that. And, again, it didn't feel at any point unbelievable for Bob Odenkirk to be doing them, you know?
Yeah, it was almost like a, you know, like the, like a Krav Maga style of, like, scrape by any means necessary versus this, like, tango or dance in the John Wick movies. It's just this, like, you know, orchestrated and choreographed gun maneuvers.
Yeah, he was very sleek, and Odenkirk was more of a mauler in this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, man. I think at the end of the day, the big thing about this movie is that, again, it was just entertaining. Great gunplay, great fight scenes, and some good humor. Easy enough plot to follow, and it's very well paced. Like you were saying before, Trill, just it feels like it kind of flew by, never drags really too much. And it left me interested. I don't know if I'm interested enough to the point where I was like, shit, I really need to see a sequel to Nobody. But, like, it left me interested enough for, like, I left this movie and didn't think, like, oh, man, that sucked, and I hope they don't make a sequel out of that. This is a one-off. Like, I could see them making a banger sequel.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's what that's the Christopher Lloyd element of it. It's, yeah, like, Odenkirk by himself is great. Don't get me wrong. I love Odenkirk, but it's, like, the combination of the two in terms of, like, having that from the get-go. Like, I think that's the sell for the sequel right there. Rather than, I don't know, like, Odenkirk could do it, but, like, you know, that's a more entertaining, that father-son thing. That's a more entertaining, like, conceit or starting point.
Yeah,
sequel, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, again, that plays into the whole, I would say the point of this is, like, this movie doesn't take itself too seriously, right? Like, at no point, like, you feel like this is trying to be trying to be John Wick. It's trying to be its own thing, and I appreciate that tremendously. I gave it an 85. Jeff gave it an 87, and you gave it a 75.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what John Wick does well too. Like, and the accountant, I wrote the accountant in on this, is, like, these movies know what they are. They're not trying to be high art. They're trying to be entertaining, and they are very entertaining. And, like, I think that's, like, part of the reason for the 90-minute runtime is, like, we're gonna tell this story, and we're gonna do it in an hour and a half, and that's all it really takes.
Yeah,
we don't need any additional, you know, parts to this, because it is pretty easy.
Yeah, short, sweet, and to the point. Again, that's, I think, well, I'm assuming what we all liked about it for the most part. They didn't try to put too many bells and whistles. Why do they call it bells and whistles? What puts bells and whistles on shit? Bells and whistles.
I don't know. I don't know where it comes from.
What do you even put? What item would you put bells and whistles on?
Clothes. Dude, clothes, like a shirt with bells on it.
But you would attach whistles to that.
Well, they're saying it's like, you know, if you're excited about doing something, you'd be like, I'll be there with bells on.
Yeah, the bells part I have no problem with, but, like, at what point do you add the whistles?
Yeah, the whistle seems like that could get kind of annoying.
You mean, like a big breeze comes through?
Well, I mean, you wouldn't use a whistle, but, like, if you're wearing clothing with whistling on it, and, like, let's say you went to a party and other people are drunk, like, they'd want to use your whistle. Like, if you had a bunch of whistles on your shirt and you showed up and people were drinking, people would want to blow on your whistle shirt.
No, I can imagine someone puking into a whistle. And it just going out of the side part.
Hadn't that happened? Wasn't that, like, I feel like I've seen that scene before where somebody just vomits and then it goes up
the air pipe
or the whistle.
Oh, like the reed or whatever. Oh man, it's disgusting. All right, this is weird. This is a dumb conversation. Let's bring Colin Fights back and talk about action hero or action protagonist for action protagonist draft. All right. Coley Fights, you're back. We're going to do our action movie protagonist draft. I did our little randomizer of order before we started, and the order is going to be Fights, Trill, me, then Coley, then we're going to snake our way back. All right. Fights is like jacked up right now. He just realized he has the first.
He deserves the one. This is his category.
This is his category.
I knew you guys were all going to steal my answer, so I'm happy to have one. There's only one clear number one.
John, I promise you, I don't have any of your answers.
So I'm actually going to count real quick how many names I have, assuming they all get stolen.
I got 22. I'd
probably have the first 25 picks, and I'd get all my guys. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I have 18. I get the top 18 picks, and I don't know if there'd be much crossover.
All right. Well, you got first overall. What are you taking?
Toronto, come on, what are you doing here?
how does he stack up though? Like he doesn't have the physical the physicality of like let's say a Wolverine, but like what he lacks in that, it's his leadership that fills the void, right? It's
leadership through the roof. Dominic Toretto is like Zdeno Chara last year. Sure, couldn't really play the way he used to play. But his locker room fucking set, the locker room presence is unmatched. You can't have a better guy in the locker room than Dominic Toretto.
You've seen so many teams win championships. You pick a team that just loses, for your example?
Yes.
Dom Toretto literally never loses. That's like his thing.
except when he like had to be the bad guy. In the last
five, that was leadership right there. He let everyone think he was the bad guy because he needed to do it. Had to,
but even then,
in order to win,
even as the bad guy, he won. He kicked everyone else's ass.
Yeah, he fucking can't be beat. Dominic Toretto, I would take Dominic Toretto. When we started this fucking podcast off talking about Dom Toretto putting magnets in planes and fucking flipping trucks and shit, I mean, he's a genius mechanic. Who also, strong as hell, will beat your fucking skull in with a wrench. He's unbelievable. He would die for you, but he doesn't have to because he's so good.
Unless you're his brother.
Yeah. then you.
He just sends you a fruit basket every other year.
I also respect
his take on family. Just because we share DNA doesn't mean we're family. We're family if we can fucking have a couple Coronas in the backyard together.
Hey, you would drink a Corona and play some spike ball?
That's my family.
All right, Trill, you're next up. Second overall pick.
I'm going to take Arnold Schwarzenegger's T-800. Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
T-800, really, only really a good guy in one good movie.
Yeah,
but
T2, that's the good one.
Yeah, but that movie is so fucking good that it is, I think, worthy of picking the T-800. I think the T-800 symbolized, growing up in the 90s, it symbolized like a level of cool, robotic cool crispness that one could never achieve unless they replaced all their body parts with synthetic materials. And the one-liners were immortal, and you just don't get one-liners anymore. You can't pull them off as much. And if you do, they're pretty good. But like Hasta La Vista, baby. If someone did that, if that never was done, and someone tried to do that in a movie now, you'd be like, what was that?
What the fuck was that?
What did you?
He also
Is that a thing he does now? I don't get it.
A lot of cool things about Arnold. He, beyond the cool leather jacket they gave him in that movie, they gave him a great gun. That like repeater shotgun thing where he would like flip it to reload it. That was one of the coolest guns I've ever seen. And Cameron, big gun guy.
Well, so apparently, and because I knew going into T2 that he was the good guy in that one. But apparently, if you're coming into the movie blind, only seeing Terminator, and I don't know how the advertising worked, your perception in that whole start of the movie was that John Connor was going to be pursued by the T-800. Again, and that Robert Patrick's character was for some reason the good guy, even though nothing about his behavior at any point in that movie indicated that he was a good guy. And that hallway interaction they had where he had the shotgun and the box of roses was supposed to be the old, like, oh shit moment, what's going on? That would have been cool to experience. But also, if I'm advertising that movie, I don't know, like, how you, like, don't spoil it, because the rest of the movie is, like, pretty clearly him as a good guy.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great pick. It's fucking such a cool character.
I just want to be dipped in a vat of lava, and then as I'm painfully dying, give a thumbs up.
Very fortunate that he managed to drive them right to the famous LA lava factory right at the end of the movie. Imagine if they went to anywhere else in LA.
like Capitol Records.
Like, they ended up at a Hard Rock.
But what am I gonna do here? Yeah, Hard Rock.
Pressing at the like blues press.
The Grove.
Wait, T2? You never saw T2? No. Oh my fucking god, dude.
I'm not gonna movie shame.
I haven't seen a lot of classic action movies. I've been too busy watching the garbage ones. It takes up a lot of my time.
I'm gonna bring you T2 on Blu-ray tomorrow, because I'm assuming everyone on Earth.
I'm assuming access to T2 hasn't been his problem.
look, you want the Blu-ray. Trust me, it's a collector's item with DVD commentary.
When we were interviewing Eric Andre for Bad Trip, and I told him that if he wasn't on our show, I would have refused to watch the movie, because I don't like being last on things. And when something's number one trending on Netflix, I'm like, fuck that, I'm never watching that. and it had been trending number one the whole weekend. But like everyone's like, it's the greatest movie of all time. I'm like, fuck it, I bet it's stupid, I'm not watching it.
And me love Bad Trip too. That would have been a shame for you.
Oh, unbelievable.
So funny. It was so fucking funny. All right, I'm up. And for my pick, I'm going to go with a newer guy. I'm going to take John Wick. I know he's a newcomer. He's very much, it's like picking like best baseball players ever and picking Mike Trout or something. But fucking John Wick is amazing. He's incredible. He killed like 200 people because they killed his dog. He's just an ultimate badass, has the best, I would say, maybe out of almost all of the action stars we're going to name. He has the coolest combat, the coolest gunplay, one of the coolest stories, and just Keanu Reeves is so fucking badass. I can't let John Wick get off the board.
That's a great answer. I think that it's in John Wick 3, right? With Halle Berry?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that dog scene, where they have the dog,
oh, yeah,
that's one of the better action scenes I've seen in like quite some time.
It's insane. That and the club fight in John Wick 1 is incredible.
I'm looking up total John Wick kill count, right? Like, what's his KD ratio? I guess you can't really divide by zero, so it's kind of tough. But in the first movie, apparently it was like 91, and then the 119 in the two, and then 167 in the third one.
Oh yeah, we're hitting this time.
And you gotta think that's like well above. I know this is gonna be a pick on someone's list, but that's like well above John McClane. Like, so if you're going
for 10 guys,
if you're going for a volume shooter, you can't screw up with John Wick.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about that Mike Trout analogy, McMahon? Was that good?
No, because people know who John Wick is.
No, that's true. But I'm saying it's like in the grand scheme of action figures or action, not figures, but action heroes, picking a newer guy as one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, John Wick's a bad dude. A lot of hand down, man down in his game. I don't know. I'm a big John Wick guy. I'm not a huge Trout guy. So that's like, I'm sure it is like a good analogy, but I also hate it.
Coley, no one's a huge Trout guy.
Nobody on earth. He's one of the greatest athletes on the planet.
What I'm really enjoying this year too, if you pay attention to baseball, even tangentially, Shohei Ohtani is getting attention out the ass. Like, you can clearly get attention if you're on the Angels. Trout just can't do it.
I think we talked about that. Didn't we do a draft of what, like, most boring people? And we said Mike Trout, because like Mike Trout, like one of the, arguably in any sport, one of the best, and just nobody gives a flying fuck about Mike Trout.
You know how I know Mike Trout stinks? He's a polite Eagles fan. Yeah. I'm not buying it.
I've said this before, like if I say it basically says every time Mike Trout comes up, I don't know that he's a real person. I have never seen Mike Trout hit a home run live.
No.
Not once.
I think I've seen him play at Fenway three times, maybe, and he's never hit a home run at Fenway, right? I believe it's the only ballpark he's never hit a home run at. and he might have hit one his last trip out there, but for a long time, Fenway was the only park he never went deep
until
in.
He hit one. He never hit one.
I wasn't watching that game, so I didn't see it.
Well, I just got to say, like, when I played MLB The Show 20 last year, I hit way more home runs than that.
Built different.
Easy mode MLB Road to the Show, baby. Just hitting 120 home runs per
batting year. 790.
Slugging dingers.
All right, Cole, you got back-to-back picks.
Well, you guys are talking about, like, kill counts and all this. It's really just about saving the people you care about when I think action hero, which is why with the fifth pick of the first round, I'm taking a guy who was dragged into a challenge he didn't ask to be a part of, who saved a race of characters from literal slavery. I'm taking Michael Jordan from Space Jam.
Motherfucker.
Jordan's losing to any of your three? Think not.
My actually, technically, and we've made this joke before, John Wick is literally he shoots guards, he's a shooting guard, so put him up against Michael Jordan any day.
Does Michael Jordan even drive a car in your fucking movie? How can he possibly be that good of an action star?
He had a hole in one. Did Toretto ever hit a hole in one?
His arm stretches out.
Yeah,
really preposterously long.
He also only got 2 points for that dunk, clearly a three.
Mm-hmm. He was living in that shitty ass little house, though, with Eric Gordon, his son, just chilling. Like, he was too much of a bitch, Michael Jordan.
It was in fucking Alabama. He had the nicest house you could afford in Alabama.
It was like a three bedroom.
It reminds
Michael
me
Michael Jordan.
It reminds me of like the golden age of internet writing, where you could just be like, complete breakdown of the box score of Space Jam.
Yeah.
And it'd be like 100 million page views. Yeah.
To say you can't make a movie and have Michael fucking Jordan in like a three bedroom in whatever suburb that was supposed to be. That was just total bullshit.
Birmingham, Alabama. He played for the Barons. He was trying his best for
it. Wasn't even a gated community. It's Michael Jordan.
They don't have gates in Alabama.
I have a feeling they do. You have what's your next pick?
Again, I need people who are goal oriented, who can see evil where others aren't recognizing it, who no matter how many times his boss is making him turn in his gun and his badge, he's still out there chasing down bad guys, bringing justice to all. I'm taking Alan Gamble from The Other Guys. You want to talk about driving? Will Ferrell, when he slams down on that accelerator, he's driving faster than Toretto. No NOS needed.
Well, let's fucking pump the brakes with that.
On the Prius, no less, too. Covered it in cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Prius with a fucking high, that'll get you going.
I mean, this is a man who he was a
dating
pimp.
Eva Mendes.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the best wife out of anyone so far. I mean, these are two A++ picks.
I'll give you this. Not only the best wife, the best ex-girlfriend, Natalie Zay.
True.
A weapon. I mean, Raylan.
Such Raylan a low blow back against John Wick. I mean, you talk
John
about.
John Wick's wife's dead, dude.
You talk about going in on something he just obviously is struggling with.
Yeah, and he could disarm John wife. Wick just by simply talking to him, making him feel better about it. And John Wick, he's crying in the corner. He's a little bitch now.
That is one of the all-time funniest scenes. This the whole. I think it's Brian Gelman, right, who plays like her new husband,
yes.
And like him,
yes,
just saying like, "Oh, you think because of my beard, I'd be hairy down there, but nope, shaved." And then he's like, he sprints like 20 miles after him.
Just keeps.
You get back here and have sex with my wife. It's like 20 miles. Excellent, excellent pick. I'm back up, and I'm going to have to pick the bussy man himself, Ethan Hunt. Ethan Hunt, just escalation. He's not like a killer like John Wick, like who's just killed thousands upon thousands of people. Ethan Hunt's more of like, I'm not going to kill unless I have to, but he does some of the craziest stunts you'll ever see in your entire fucking life. He's jumping on the side of airplanes, flying him up into the sky. He's free climbing the fucking Burj Khalifa. He's doing all this crazy shit, and he's just amazing. And the Mission Impossible movies are only getting better. And I attribute that all to Ethan Hunt himself.
I do take issue with the, I think it was a Jeff D. Lowe tweet that became a LCB Instagram the other day. Mission Impossible 2, also a great film. I think that's far too low rated.
You're talking about the slow-mo firing the double Berettas in midair while like orchestra shit's playing, doves are flying.
That's the one with fucking
John Woo, right?
With Seymour Hoffman, right?
No, that's three. Three.
Oh, that's three. Okay. Maybe two.
So three's, that's J.J. Abrams. And three, the Philip Seymour Hoffman bad guy is incredible. He was so good. The countdown part with Bridget Moynihan. Bridget Moynihan? Yeah.
Yes.
It's, amazing.
No, it's not Bridget Moynihan.
Who is it?
I thought it was Mrs. Hunt.
It's not Bridget Moynihan. But so is two the one with the woman from Westworld? I forget her name.
Julia Mead? Oh, wait, that's the fictional character. It's Michelle Moynihan. My bad. Why do I think Bridget?
Is two the one with the woman from Westworld?
No, it's Tandy Newton.
Yes. That one's I thought that one, never mind. I'm not as passionate about that then. If you have that one with a lower score, that's okay.
I was going to say, I don't think you would have had that high, but three is definitely one I could see you up on. Okay, Trill, you're up.
I'm going to pick Ellen Ripley from Alien. Mm-hmm. Ellen Ripley is a badass. And then when she shears her head or gets her head shorn.
In the third?
In the third, and is like, you know, just lighting shit on fire. I love Ellen Ripley.
Mm-hmm. Killing the shit out of aliens in her panties, Ripley. Dude. Yeah. It was awesome.
When she puts on the exoskeleton in the best Aliens movie, Aliens. Like, nothing better than that.
Do you remember when she kind of starts like not seducing, but like the one thing thinks it's like Ellen's her mother, right? Because she has the alien DNA. I think it's Alien Resurrection, right? And like she gets it to navigates into the room, and then they open up the space hole, and then the thing gets sucked out through that tiny hole and like explodes.
Just mists.
Yeah. Oh,
Alien Resurrection was a weird movie. Her basketball scene though, pretty good.
Dude, she fucking dunked on what's his name? The guy from God damn it, this is really gonna bother me. I can't think. Ron Perlman. She like dunks on Ron Perlman, who's like a mercenary in that movie. Incredible shit. That's the David Lynch, or not David Lynch. Shit. No,
Resurrection is not Resurrection is
no Alien. Alien 3 was Fincher. What I was going for there. Yeah.
Yeah, but then we were talking about Resurrection though with the basketball scene. That was when things got a little early 2000s.
Yeah, that was a little dicey. All right, fights, you're back up.
Drill keeps talking about movies I've never seen. I don't know what he's talking about. Alien or something like that? Never seen it.
Get the fuck out of here.
I actually did watch Alien. I fell asleep in it during it, but I have
to. Yeah, except like your next pick is going to be like, this is a guy who really knows what he's doing. It's Dunstan from Dunstan Checks In.
I mean, you thought it was going to be someone outside the Fast and Furious franchise? Brian O'Connor, folks. Brian O'Connor. It is a no-brainer Brian O'Connor pick. The hardest part of my draft was going, am I taking O'Connor 1? Am I going O'Connor 2? I think Dom drives the boat, but Brian's a furrow. He's a guy who knows right from wrong. He's a good cop. Not a cab around here. He's a good cab. And he knows when to say, you know what, the bad guys are doing some good stuff here. I think I'm going to take interest in that. He also knows when to get out of the game. He said, I got a family now. I'm out. Everything about Brian O'Connor, 10 out of 10. Love him to death. And he's also stunningly beautiful.
Extremely lucky that somehow this movie was made in 2001 and his name's Brian O'Connor. Like, how is it not like Xander or whatever, or like something like that? Like, it just worked out a random fucking action movie.
Made it worse was what they did, Ken Jack. They made an O'Connor with an ER.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
People forget that Brian O'Connor is O C O N N E R.
Oh, that's gross, dude.
Yeah.
I really don't like that at all. Good pick, though.
Thank you.
People forget he used to go on a string of like random action. You ever watch that? What was the parkour movie he did? Brickhouse?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That wasn't bad. I like that one. All right. You also were back up.
Running Scared, one of his more underrated ones. Running Scared.
Agreed.
That scene with the kids and the fucking, I don't know if they're pedophiles technically or just child killers, whatever they are. That's a fucked up scene. That scene messed me up for a while.
Your back up fights.
Oh, I'm back up. Okay. Number three, Mike Banning.
Yeah, no, I fucking knew it.
Yeah, I'm going to go number three, Mike Banning, because I know no one's taking my number four. Number three, Mike Banning. Someone would have gotten onto that Fallen. I know. Probably you, Ken Jack.
Were you going to take one of the Has Fallen guys, Drill?
No. I was going to pick London. The city's a character. The city is truly a character.
London Has Fallen is very much like a Taylor Sheridan film. Like the scenery around plays a humongous part.
It's like 15 minutes of dialogue. It's just like, I'm telling you this, partner. London isn't like it used to be.
London ain't standing up anymore.
This is a wild place. It's got no rules. It's an H&M every corner, my friend.
Underratedly better Gerard Butler character is his Den of Thieves character, the cop with all the tattoos that just rips Pepto-Bismol.
It's such a piece of shit in that movie. It's awesome.
I watched that the other day. It's actually, it's the only movie I have on my iPad, so it's what I watch basically every flight I ever take. And I actually have two copies of it. Somehow iTunes let me buy it twice. So I have two copies of it on my iPad, and it's the only movie I watch on planes. And I actually watched it the other night because it's on Netflix. It's coming off Netflix soon, so if you haven't seen it, you can watch it. But it is – that's a very underrated action movie. That's a great
fact. It is good.
What was his – he had a good cop name too, Nick O'Brien. Yeah. Nick O'Brien, another great cop name. And his name was Big Nick. Hold on. I'm just reading his wiki now. He gained 30 pounds for that role.
Kevin James has to lose at least 50 then.
If Gerard Butler can gain 30, then certainly Kevin James can lose 100.
Yeah, Kevin James can go for a fucking quick jaunt around the city and drop 25. So let's up it to 50.
That's one of the underratedly great parts about when you first start working out, when you gain a lot of weight, is like it comes off easier. But then you just plateau and it fucking sucks. And also, Pablo Schreiber in Den of Thieves, awesome.
Then you hit the age of 34 and it just, you cannot lose weight. It just doesn't happen. It's just permanently molded to your body like a piece of plastic.
Grafted on you.
Action figure.
All right, Trill, you're back up.
You know what? Oh, this is a tough one. Let me go back to my list of action heroes. I don't want to take, you know, I don't want to take any of the ones I don't have like any real connection with. So there's like a lot of obvious ones I'm not picking, but I think, you know, I think in terms of what he meant to me at the time, like, you know, if you were 17 and in 1999 or whatever, 15 or whatever I was, like, there's no cooler person than Neo. One, he like flew to a Rage Against the Machine song, which is something I still practice to this day. I just go out to my driveway and then just try to concentrate playing like Rage Against the Machine and try to fly away. And I don't, and I'm wearing the glasses and the trench coat and everything. It just doesn't happen for me, but I like Neo a lot because it was like this, it was this 90s cool that is obviously very lame in retrospect, but at the time was like very turn of the millennium. And I think what Neo meant for like this action like franchise, in terms of like what the Matrix meant for like American action movies and kind of like at least, you know, moving forward, Neo meant a lot to me. I won't mention the fact that the other two movies sucked ass, but
okay, wait. I'm going to note this. The Matrix Reloaded was not,
it's like
there's redeemable. No. Dude, the highway scene was fucking cool as hell. And the fight with the Merovingian or whatever, the French dude in that big like the mansion shit was cool.
I disagree. I think the entire Matrix Reloaded, it was bad.
You didn't like the albino fight?
I don't know if you can call it that.
That was literally like their character's name. So
Trill, if you pick, we're now three picks in. If you pick a movie I've seen, I'm gonna be so disappointed.
I've not seen The Matrix. I mean, 100% on you.
We're talking probably about like the three most watched movies for American males under the age of 40 right now, maybe.
Maybe 50,
but
The Matrix is kind of on the alien spectrum in the sense that I've definitely seen scenes and stuff like that, and I obviously know the premise of it, but I have not sat down and watched it front to back.
It is, I think, the most surprising was Terminator, and I'm not crazy surprised by Aliens, but Matrix is like, that's insane. How do you never watch The Matrix?
It's definitely been on TV when I've been in the room, but I've never been sitting there being like, hey, let's watch The Matrix, hit play.
You've never been to a Matrix party?
He's sitting there, he like only tuned in for 5 minutes on TNT, like the rave scene from the last one where they're like, yeah, we're gonna die, let's have a big party in Zion. and they just had that huge fucking like serious rave. You remember that part, Cheryl?
Yes. Yes. I remember everything about these movies.
Dude, the mech suits in the third one are kind of cool too. You gotta admit.
There are cool concepts that don't like equate to cool movies. Kind of like how Book of Eli is a cool concept.
Yeah. Why are you? This is, you're kind of big. And I don't know, Coley and Fights, you were privy to this, but in the last episode, a few episodes, he's been on a real Book of Eli kick.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I just rewatched the Book of Eli and I got real into the Book of Eli again, where I'm like, awesome. This could have been something really neat. And it's just, it's okay, but it could have been way cooler.
Haven't seen it. We're 4 for 4, baby.
Well, Gary Oldman basically plays an Uncle Baby Billy character. But it's like more toned down Uncle Baby Billy, in my opinion. Maybe I'm the only person that's reading it that way, but I'm just trying to push for a Book of Eli too.
I saw Book of Eli in theaters because I was super excited for it. And then I saw it, I want to say last year for the second time. So what's that, like 13 years in between viewings? Like it left a lot to be desired.
Yeah. But the general concept, the way the movie opens up, you're like, okay. Like I and then just slowly is like, oh, well, okay. I guess that's the Bible.
He's a blind guy.
Sputters out. Sputters out. All right. I'm back up. I'm going to take one more like guy that's just on my big board that I just need to take. And that's Jason Bourne. Jason Bourne. All right. Don't fucking shake your head. Jason Bourne's fucking cool. Like they literally Jason Bourne was awesome. He fucking wakes up. He has amnesia. He just wakes up and he knows how to speak every language. He knows every martial arts. He knows how to use every gun. It's fucking cool. It made me think like maybe one day I'll fall asleep and I'll just wake up and I'll just like, oh yeah, I was part of Project Treadstone and Brian Cox was trying to kill me for some reason. And that to me, he's cool. I think all the movies except for the Jeremy Renner aside and the last one were pretty damn good. And I enjoyed them because they all kind of did the same sort of like, a technique where like, you know, you're in Europe, you need to do a dark blue filter. You know, you're in Morocco. Yeah. Now we're going to do the highly orange filter and then shaky cam fights. That shit's cool to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to leave Jack Reacher on the board like this.
I already have one Bussy Man pick. I can't go back to back.
I had never seen any of the Bournes until quarantine started. It was just something like that had never crossed paths with. And I had heard about them so much over the years. So I bought all three of the original trilogy, watched them like the first 2 days of quarantine and was wildly underwhelmed. I don't know if it was because of like the decades of buildup, but I do not think those movies are like worth talking about.
Because you come from the mixed up BP alternate universe where you thought it was the porn identity. And
yeah, that's
you get a lot of different beats going on.
I don't know, I expected a lot more action. Like there isn't.
You can't see the action is the problem.
It's so shaky.
It's like a punch and it's like
great podcasting. The great shake off right there. They what do you call it? I think kind of the issue too is like when you watch a movie like John Wick and then you go back and watch something like Bourne Ultimatum or whatever, it is so wildly different the way that they approached action movies in like the early 2000s compared to
for
now.
Sure.
It's crazy. But I think at the time, especially when you're watching it, like for me as like a young kid, like it is fucking awesome. It's like the coolest guy I'd ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting more.
The first
time
you saw the Bournes, you were like, this is serious stuff.
Yeah, I guess I was expecting even more like like twists and shit. Like there wasn't a lot of like, oh, I didn't see that coming. I don't know.
No, it's just all Treadstone. It's just, we got to find Treadstone. Every single movie is something about fucking Treadstone. And that part is annoying, but I think all of the way he MacGyver's shit, it was always cool to me. And I love that. And that's why I love Burn Notice too. Coley, you're up.
The big twist is that Jason is spelled with a Y.
He spells it like the J-A-Y-C-E-O-N.
Oh,
that's how the game spells it.
I have the Jason Bourne game, actually. I just sent it to a stoolie because we put out a competition a while back. I was like, hey, if you subscribe, your first person to subscribe to the Barstool YouTube or the LCB YouTube and send me like a screen cap, I'll send you the 360 game. So I sent the guy who won just fucking the Bourne identity. The 2003 Xbox or 2005 Xbox 360 game.
I like terrible. How what happened there. Did you realize that Coley was referring to the game, the rapper?
No, no. See, that's what when he said Jason Bourne, like the game, I was like, hey, that reminds me, Jason Bourne.
Okay. I thought you were just like, yes, I love that game. Like,
yeah, I spell game J A Y C. I'm going to go with a classic from, I believe it, I was probably way too young to see this movie, and it's only aged terribly with time. Don't care. Jack Burton, Big Trouble, Little China, put it on the board.
Definitely doesn't age well with time, but I understand thinking is a cool guy. That what movie, gun does he have? Is he even Uzi? Is he just...
Yeah, he just kind of carries it around throughout, like, Lil Uzi Vert. Like, he just tucks it in his sweatpants precariously. Like, he... Him, Kim Cattrall, like it wildly, I think, given today's view of things, extremely racist at a lot of points. But, I mean, listen, there was Big Trouble in Little China and someone had to clean that shit up. It was Jack Burton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all I remember is that he had, like, I think, like, the white undershirt, the big-ass mullet, and he was, like, a trucker, right? And, like, that was the thing. We'd go to, like, go to Chinatown to, like, gamble and shit.
Yeah, it was like, a weird mix of... I'm going to say Escape from New York just because he's the same character in both, kind of. And Mortal Kombat and Ghostbusters. It was like those three movies jammed into one.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick. You got back to back, though.
Oh, I sure do. And I'm going to take just another classic. This had to have been late 90s. Samuel Jackson, I don't know his character from Deep Blue Sea.
We just get fucking killed.
Listen, no one said they had to win. They just had to be our favorite protagonist from action movies. Samuel L. Jackson, the motherfucking shark, ate him. And that's what inspired the rest of the crew to take care of the problem.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the show. You heard
the Deep Blue Sea soundtrack?
Deepest blues. My head is like a shark's fin. Deepest blues.
What?
Yeah.
I think Cool J.
Yeah. And then wasn't there another big song on it? Didn't like West Side Connection have a song on it? Or my mate, I don't know.
West Side Connection had a song for an early 2000s movie. I don't was think it.
Yeah, like West Side, the West Side Connection had a
cool
song.
They have, let's see what else. There's a lot of LL Cool J, go figure. High C, Divine, Trevor Rabin. That's the Deep Blue Sea montage. Chantel Jews. Let's see. Bass Odyssey, Smoke Man. And the song was Smoke Man.
Smoke Man by Smoke Man from the album Smoke Man.
What a fucking great, that's a great track list.
What's the was song?
Are you thinking of like the not
say
nah,
what?
Nah.
I thought West Side Connection had like a big song from like one of those big like late 90s action movies, but I don't know.
Well,
we can figure sure that out right now.
Nah. Not worth looking up.
Well, too late. I already did it. Oh my God. That's a big fucking list. Bad Boys 2. That sounds like right directly in this little Q zone you're talking about.
Was it Gangsta Nation?
I don't know. It could have been just Ice Cube. Wasn't Ice Cube in, Anaconda?
Was that Anaconda, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
All I can see about the Gangsta Nation is that it had a cameo from Mike Epps for some reason. That's cool.
Okay, that could have been it.
Yeah, that's exactly what she was thinking of. All right, I'm back up. I'm going to pick with my fourth pick. Let's do John Matrix. John Matrix, which is not a Matrix character. I'm assuming those of you that haven't seen Commando before. Commando, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger. John Matrix is not only one of the coolest named characters, John Matrix is just a fucking sick name, but he has also had some of the best one-liners from any action movie in history. He's like holding the guy, and I don't know if any of you guys have even seen Commando. Have you seen Commando? It's a no across the board. He's like holding a guy over a cliff. He's like, Sully, you said you're gonna kill me less. And he's like, yeah, I did, Sully. I lied. And then he drops him. He's like, there's so many
great... So he's McBain from The Simpsons?
Almost exactly, like to a T. It's incredible. He has in these great lines. He has fucking a great suit up to the final fight moment where he pulls out this giant, like, you may have seen this picture before. He holds like this giant, like, four rocket launcher where it's like a big ass square with four rockets in it. It is badass. It is so cool. I love John Matrix. And I think he doesn't have stick around in this. That was Dutch and Predator. But he has, lit off some steam, Bennett, at the end of it. For those of you listening that know that scene, I love that line. But that's my pick, John Matrix. Trill, you're back up.
I'm going to pick Blade.
I've seen it.
Thank you.
Oh,
Blade's cool as shit. Like Blade rules. And it was like perfectly violent. And this was before it was really a comic book movie. You know, it was based off a comic book character, but it wasn't a comic book movie yet because that whole subgenre didn't really truly exist. So I think Blade still falls firmly into the action character department. And especially like the shit, like the club scene and the spraying of the blood.
Oh, yeah.
And this is really, it's a really cool movie. And Blade was a really cool character. And I even think I like the sequels too. I don't think they were as good as Blade, but I think the sequels are pretty solid.
I thought one of like the, I can't remember exactly what age I was when it came out, but I think it was Blade 3 Ryan Reynolds was in.
It's yeah, Ryan Reynolds Trinity. And Jessica Biel.
Yeah, and he calls someone a cock-juggling thunder cunt. And one of my all-time favorite insults. It is
pretty good. That is peak 2013.
Peak 2013.
there's
some epic bacon for that win, sir.
The in Blade Trinity, great moment from Blade Trinity. There was a moment where basically the director got in a spat with Wesley Snipes. And they had a scene where they wanted him to open his eyes and he just straight up refused. He's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm not opening my eyes in this scene. So they had to CGI his eyes open.
What?
I'm dead serious. I'll send you a clip of it. It is incredible. Like he just said, you know, fuck you. I'm Blade. I can do whatever I want. And just refused to open his eyes.
That kind of strikes me as that's obviously true. If you've seen the movie, you see the CGI. But like the Ben Affleck rumor from Gone Girl that he wouldn't wear
The hat
and then the Mets hat was a compromise and he got into a fight with Fincher about it.
Like, that's not real, right?
I think it is. He talked about it again recently.
I think that's when someone I forget. It's a movie guy I follow who was like, I can't believe people are still falling for this. Like, do you think they shut down production on a major movie for 4 days because Ben Affleck wouldn't wear a hat? Or do you think his buddy Fincher is joking about
it? No, I think what, like the last time he spoke about it, it was like, yeah, it didn't shut down for days, but like they definitely like had it out.
Had an issue with it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's nearly as bad as everyone had
like
said, but I do.
A disagreement happened, but yeah, it didn't shut down for 4 days, but it was Affleck was no, I'm not wearing that fucking hat.
Would you I guess this is probably like, this is probably some like your Hollywood now, so you're trying to keep your Boston roots and stuff like that. Is someone going to pay me millions of dollars? I'll put on a Yankee hat. No fucking problem.
Not a chance.
If I'm playing a character in a movie,
if I'm Ben Affleck,
John Feidelberg, he's a Yankee fan. I'd be like, well, I don't know. That's kind of stupid. That doesn't make any sense. Well, if they're like, this is a made up person, you are pretending on TV. I'd be like, okay, sure.
But if I'm pretending, I can pretend to be like his argument, a Mets fan.
Yeah, the Mets one.
So like, but here's the way I draw the distinction. You can do that if you're Ben Affleck. You can't do that if you're Casey Affleck.
Yeah. It's all about your capital in Hollywood. Yeah. And Ben Affleck has a shit ton of capital, so he can do whatever the fuck he wants, really. Especially at that stage. You talk to him in 1995.
Twice, you can't do that.
Fair point. Although technically he did play Batman twice. Well, it's Justice all League same. End. Yeah. Fair. All right, fights. You got your last, your fourth and fifth final pick.
Okay, so number four, going Lieutenant Alex Hopper.
The fuck is Alex Hopper?
Yeah, I was gonna let you guys guess who the fuck I'm talking about. That'd be Taylor Kitsch in Battleship, folks.
Oh my god, dude,
just terrible.
No,
that's awful.
No, you are wrong. He's a great character. Motherfucker watched his brother. I mean, Coley, I believe your first pick, we're talking about saving a couple of Looney Tunes because that's what a leader does.
A couple, the whole race.
Alex Hopper saved the world.
He saved an entire race, an entire species.
Okay, so did Alex Hopper. Alex Hopper saved many species. Every species on the planet, he saved.
I mean, the whole crew saved everybody. Like, Rihanna was there, too. Liam Neeson was there.
But there was someone who was the leader who watched his brother get exploded. It's Alex Hopper.
Oh, I thought he saved everyone, John. What happened?
Seems like he didn't save his brother.
him and his brother had the same relationship as Dom Toretto and Jake. They weren't that close anymore.
This guy's being more of an asshole the longer you talk.
Make him seem worse and worse.
That scene when in the opening, I think it's one of the opening scenes of the movie, maybe the opening scene of the movie, when he gets Brooklyn Decker a fucking burrito.
Oh man, I forgot she was in this.
Unbelievable. Unreal. Breaks into a fucking gas station, gets her a chicken burrito, babe. Unreal.
There was like that stretch of like 2000. Go ahead.
My number five is going to be really a collection of people here. And there's only going to be one, but my official answer is Robert McCall. But Robert McCall is my favorite kind of action hero because my favorite genre of action movies, which is a badass who just wants to be left alone. But then you fucked with him and now he's got to kill everybody. Robert McCall, for those who don't know, is Denzel in The Equalizer. And also falling into this category, I have Bob Lee Swagger, Benjamin Martin, Clyde Shelton from Law Abiding Citizen, and Phil Broker from Homefront. The classic.
Wow.
Jason Statham and what's his name?
In Homefront? It was him, the little girl, and
fucking
fuck. Who's the main bad in that? James Franco, yeah. I mean, I'll say this. Robert McCall, great pick. Is same vein as John Wick, I would say, in that regard. Just want to be left alone, but if you fuck with him, he's going to kill everybody. And didn't we have someone on like Barstool Idol that like got killed by Denzel in the second Equalizer?
It was in the second one. He's the guy.
The credit card guy.
He's the guy who opens the door, and gets his like fingers split in half by a credit card that he was caught.
Oh. Yeah, that's right. Oh, man, I forgot how fucking gross that was. I do like the Robert McCall pick, but the fact that he was picked behind Alex Hopper and from Battleship, the character nobody knows or loves, is despicable.
Well, that was – I would have probably – if it was going 1-1-1-1, I probably would have taken McCall to not let anyone else have it because I knew Hopper – I could have picked Hopper with Tom Brady 199. But the I just knew, I had to get my guy up there to let him know he's special.
None of your picks were on my list except for Robert McCall. And, you were very right about that. Like, not even in the same fucking stratosphere. All right, Trill. You're up. Last pick.
I don't remember. I thought I was on mute. I don't remember his name, but whatever Jackie Chan's character's name was in Super Cop, Police Story 3.
He was Super Cop.
Jackie Chan's Super Cop rules. Those are my favorite Jackie Chan movies. I remember getting those from Blockbuster, horribly, horribly dubbed over. Mm-hmm. And they're very entertaining. They're awesome. That was before the big Jackie Chan renaissance. Mm-hmm. The renaissance?
Uh-huh. Yeah, just go renaissance.
Renaissance.
Combining these words.
Yeah, I don't want to combine it. But that was when, Rush Hour came out and Jackie Chan got huge in the U.S. But, Jackie Chan had been grinding for, 30 years. And, these are some of his best films, Super Cop and Police Story and all those ones.
Oh, Police Story is awesome.
And all those stories of, him falling from a helicopter and breaking every bone in his body and then being back on location to shoot 3 weeks later.
Dude, he had that stretch in Hong Kong cinema where he was the biggest name in the world. And then he barely gets to break on the scene in the U.S. and becomes an immediate superstar. And you guys are probably a little bit past this, but Jackie Chan Adventures as a kid, awesome show. And it's not nearly close to the pinnacle of his career, but man, I loved that show growing up.
Well, the first time I ever heard of Jackie Chan is there was a Jackie Chan video game that was out for the Nintendo, the regular Nintendo. And it was Jackie Chan video game. I'm like, okay, this is cool. And then I found out Jackie Chan was a real person a few years later. I thought he was a video game character for a while.
Wow, there's a lot of video games. What the fuck? The Kung Fu Master Jackie Chan, Jackie Chan's Action Kung Fu, Jackie Chan Adventures, and Jackie Chan's Stunt Master. You just do stunts?
Oh, stunt.
No,
it would
no,
be,
no.
Stunt it would be master. Pretty cool if there was a stunt video game where you were a stunt driver. I think they may have made one of those, where you just do stunts. But the whole engine is just you being a ragdoll. you get points for screwing up and stuff.
Dude, he's in a lot of games. This is crazy. He's a whole page, a whole wiki for Jackie Chan video games.
Was his The Foreigner, was that any good? That was him in fucking Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan, yeah. It wasn't amazing, but it was pretty entertaining, I thought. Pierce Brosnan wasn't the main bad, so it made it less entertaining than it could have been, I thought. But yeah, solid pick. I'm going to go with my final pick. It's my last pick, so I feel like I can go off the rails a little bit with it. And I'm going to pick Rama from The Raid and The Raid 2. Just one of the most badass characters in all of action movies, period. And I just knew I could get him late because not a lot of people have seen The Raid. And the Raid movies are incredible. If you haven't seen them before, some of the best action movies ever made. And he is just so fucking cool. Great, great martial artist. The actual guy, Iko Uwais, practitioner of Sillet. And he is just incredible. And just a movie I think so many people should watch because it is, it blows the doors off of so many action movies that are made today. But that's my pick, Rama. Coley, round us out.
There's a lot still left on the board.
There is.
I'm stuck between four. Oh, boy. Just fucked up my screen. There we go. I'm stuck between four. I'm a little surprised Mike Lowry is still sitting here staring me in the face.
I was going to say the other one was fucking Will Smith in Independence Day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I kind of made mine on my list a stipulation. I made an exception for Alex Hopper, but I was trying to stick to franchises because there definitely are some other ones where you would have gotten them in, but I was trying to stick to franchises a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which Mike Lowry was in.
I was obviously staying away from comic book movies because I felt like that would have been a completely different draft. Yeah. But when Trill said Blade, like the closest I can think to that I enjoy a lot is Spawn. And we've gone entirely too long without talking about John Lasagna.
You picked the fucking Violator?
No, that was his foil.
Okay.
But it's, for me, it's really down to two. Moses from Attack the Block, John Boyega's like mm-hmm. first role, all-time leader. You talk Great about a leader, but that's not my pick. That's my runner-up, so shout out to him.
What was that John Boyega movie, the one, like the World War II zombies?
So you're thinking of Overlord. That wasn't John Boyega. That was a different guy. And it was that actually also has Wyatt Russell, who was the new Captain America in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That movie was pretty damn good. I think a lot of you, if you're a fan of like zombie horror shit, you should check that out.
That's what I thought. The trailer looked cool on that. And then I think it kind of just came and went like with a whimper and didn't really get much attention. So I never saw it, but I thought the trailer for it looked awesome.
Yeah, no, that is another all time trailer from that sort of, I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now. Jovan Adepo was the main character in that. And also, oh yeah, I forgot Pilo Aspect is in that as well. I would highly, highly recommend watching that movie. Wait, so what's the actual pick? Sorry, Coley?
The actual pick is the car from Death Proof. I don't think much more else needs to be said. Like, I can combat all of you. I now have the vehicle. A better vehicle than anything John's coming with. This thing is literally unable to die. I've got Michael Jordan, the only real proven leader out of any of these people. I'm sitting pretty.
That's a solid fucking pick. I mean, you know, it's another one I thought you guys would have gotten.
Let me tell you what, sorry to interrupt Ken Jack real quick. I would take that car for Death Proof versus Alex Hopper at the helm of the John Jones. Okay, because I know the fucking boat name. I'll take the Death Proof car. No problem. No problem.
Michael Jordan can, like, his limbs don't end. He's dunking on you from land.
Bro, we killed a million aliens. I don't give a fuck about long arms. Are you kidding me?
I mean, Michael Jordan literally killed one alien and the rest joined his team because they saw how terrifying he was.
The Alex Hopper would have fucking Michael Jordan wishing he was back on the Birmingham Barons. He'd be like, this is so stupid. I wish I just stayed in the dugout fucking hanging K's.
I mean, that is just completely... I'm going to say the Death Proof car, amazing pick. Your whole deductive reasoning towards the John Hopper possibly being able to defeat the Death Proof car just makes no sense. I'm sorry. There's the Death Proof car is winning this fight 100 out of 100 times.
First of all, I want to be clear. I haven't seen Death Proof. Second of all, don't insult the John Jones by calling the John. Alex Hopper is at the helm of the John Jones. Different things.
Okay, so we just need to give the Death Proof car some like performance-enhancing drugs, and then this whole fight is over.
What's
Hansel and Gretel?
Is that one of the
It was the Tarantino Rodriguez. They did the double feature.
Yeah, that was like I honestly, is this the one with the chick with the gun on her leg?
That's the other one.
That's the other half of that.
I've seen
that's,
the other one.
That's Planet Terror.
No, it wasn't
I almost took her because since I was thinking about this, she rules. But I had to take the car from Death Proof.
Tarantino says that's the worst film he's made.
Well, he made Planet Terror.
Okay.
It, I mean,
excellent. You're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep drinking my Route 44 Diet Cherry Limeade. That's been sitting on my desk for no less than 8 hours.
You let the Sonic ice melt? You didn't even chew it? Who the fuck even are you anymore?
I'm a changed man. I got the lines right in here.
So let's go over our picks really quick. Fights. You got Dom Toretto, Brian O'Connor, Mike Banning, Alex Hopper, Robert McCall. Trill, you got the...
What a five!
You got the T... Trill, you got the T-800, yeah, specifically from T2. Ellen Ripley, Neo, Blade, and Jackie Chan in Super Cop. I have John Wick, Ethan Hunt, Jason Bourne, John Matrix, and Rama from The Raid. Coley, you have Michael Jordan, Alan Gamble, Jack Burton, Sam Jackson from Deep Blue Sea, and the car from Death Proof. I read that in the exact same cadence. Don't even look at me like that.
I would like to also draft Knight Rider.
You're going down. Kit's going down.
Kit would get fucking crushed. That would be actually an interesting different draft. I'd draft a movie Cars.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Yeah, I mean, the more when you say my team front to back and you just start, like Michael Jordan used to come out fifth. Like he was the last name. When he's leading off the team, you know you get a deep roster.
Yeah, your send off, your fucking cleanup is the car from Death Proof.
The car from Death Proof. Do 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 do. That was funnier in my head.
What was his fucking walkout music?
It was Sirius by Alan Parsons Project.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And had that modified version of Sirius Eye in the Sky. That really that really worked well for that. But anytime you listen to like that song on its own, then it gets into the actual song. You're like, oh, this song sucks.
They were a punchline in Austin Powers, right?
Yeah, it was like the Alan Parsons Project, and everyone laughed.
Yeah, I'm like, what's so funny? Oh, you get it? It's because it's the band. What a fucking franchise.
Yeah, remember when you said it was Preparation H, like the cream you put on your butthole?
Oh, and him investing in Starbucks too.
Literally at the peak of comedy for that stretch of time.
Dude, and still is. I still fucking laugh at like Austin Powers Gold. Remember the part where like Steven Spielberg does like the backflips away from the set? It's funny to me.
Well, it's become kind of a joke now, but I can't believe like how much humor was just derived by like 20-year-old dudes just repeating movie quotes over and over. That was just watch old honestly, school. Like, hey, you're my boy, Blue. Oh yeah,
that's a lost art. That mm-hmm. I hate the internet for taking that away from us. When we used to just sit in a room, I remember like renting apartments when I was like in college, where we rent apartments in the summer, and we wouldn't bother getting cable or internet because you know we'd be out at the beach or partying or whatever, and we would just sit in fucking hot rooms and drink warm beers to stay. The best times of my life.
Smells like rich mahogany in here with many leather bound books, and everybody just starts cracking up.
Dude, like that was genuine serotonin I haven't had in my life in a long time. Like, it is very difficult to recapture that.
We're all seeped in 28 extra layers of irony now.
So exactly.
We're almost to the point where it's funny again, though. Like, if we keep diving into this irony, like, it's like when Stewie walks in and just kept saying mom to Lois. Like, it's funny, extremely annoying the next 40 times, then funny again. So yeah. We're almost back to quoting movies unironically.
Let's do that. Let's start the phase. Like, we're just going to be the guys that quote movies to each other now, incessantly, but nothing new, specifically older stuff.
Let's just be your new series.
Please, I'm begging you.
Unironic movie quote guys. By Odin's beard.
Just starts cracking
milk
up.
Was a bad choice.
Milk was such a bad choice.
So it's only Ron Burgundy. Like,
I love Lamp. Quote.
It's the only movie we're quoting. It's fucking Anchorman.
Anchorman was the king of that. There was there was nothing bigger than Anchorman.
Works 60% of the time, all the time.
The only movies you're allowed to quote are movies that have a Wilson brother in it.
It's Will Ferrell. I think Will Ferrell really cornered the market on that.
Yeah, that's true. Like,
Will, there was, I used to say, like, and this is back when Will Ferrell was real, real hot in the streets. I still, to this day, think that they are way funnier to say with your friends than they are to watch. I think just, like, sitting around saying fucking Will Ferrell quotes is, and I think the movies are funny. I just think for some reason that time period, when you were just sitting in a room with your friends, just being like, I'm gonna come at you like a spider monkey, it was.
The resale value was great.
Comedy's died since then.
Well, yeah, I mean, you mentioned that with like the other guys too, where it's like a lot of that is Adam McKay, I think.
Yeah.
And like what Adam McKay did. Like Will Ferrell obviously is very funny, but I think the shit, like, and the thing about Adam McKay is he's evolved as well. Like he's been consistently funny in like terms of like what he's been involved in. But like you're right on. It could be Will Ferrell. I just said the Owen brothers because that gets you like Luke Wilson was an Anchorman, so that buys you that. And then of course you get the whole Wedding Crashers thing. Wedding Crashers out of all those movies was probably the most quoted one.
Yes. I think that's what killed it almost. Like that was when you couldn't live life without someone telling you some rule that they were quoting. Like that was a little that I think that's when it got a little unbearable and we started pushing against it.
That era, yeah. That got tough. But
it's kind of like everyone realized that they weren't going to grow up to be like cool and like a movie character.
I'm not going
to
be Chaz Reinhardt
or like what you were going to grow up as would be like the lame Vince Vaughn after like getting married character. Like that's you.
You can't be yelling Ma the Meatloaf at your real life mother who doesn't know what you're doing.
We're gonna bring it back. We start the movement right here. But thanks, fellas, for joining. That was a lot of fun.
You get the hottest room you can find and crank it up to like 87 degrees in there.
That's a rule. It's gotta be really hot. It's gotta smell like not necessarily Axe, but like what are those some of those other what was that other body spray that's around the same time? You know what I'm talking about? Lynx or something like that. Like it's gotta smell like Lynx body spray. Just reeks of it and just like hot as hell.
There has to be an Xbox 360 with a t-shirt on top of it and a red ring of death.
yes, that you're overheating to make it work again. And like every time someone gets off of whatever seating arrangement you have, you have to hear physically the peel of their hot skin coming off of it. Like they a fucking call, rapper.
They have to call fives too, so no one takes their seat, even though there's only four of you in four chairs.
And every guy is holding a pillow on his gut to hide his gut. Like they're just hugging it the entire movie. That's the move.
I'll be honest. I just started that one fairly recently. I was late to gather what that was all about. I don't lay on my couch without a pillow in my stomach.
You have to. You have to. It hides the gut. It's a brilliant. It's like the 200 IQ move. And nobody. I feel like I'm the skinniest man on earth whenever I do it. But again,
you just set up an Entourage rewatch room that is just the same thing.
It's like a rec room. It's like you literally. It's like a business. It's like come to my business where we just. We have a cranked up heat room. You just rewatch Entourage. Yeah, it's a random group of guys.
No, their room is just like a zoo exhibit for like 2003 guy. come watch him in his natural habitat. He's texting his mom on his Motorola Blackjack.
He's sitting in one of those like canvas black, unnecessarily large chairs that only has him like 3 inches off the ground somehow.
Yes. Oh my God.
A black futon with like 18 protein stains of undescribed origin.
And most of them are Optimum Nutrition, even though it doesn't work out that much.
He's talking about the other protein stains.
No, I know.
No, it could be food. I'm not specifying, but it's just like whatever. You can't get it out. So it's
true. Everyone's like, what is this stain? And he would pretend it's cum.
Yeah.
He forgot to close the clasp on his fucking shaker too much.
Yeah. Kraft mac and cheese that he made in the microwave.
storing his weed in a Papa John's garlic butter cup.
It totally messed the smell, right? Meanwhile, every single person that comes in that room is like, dude, it smells like weed in here.
this dude has a dog that like this person sold it to him and said it was like in Newfoundland, but it was just a pit bull mix.
Oh, we need to make. I want to make this exhibit so bad. But again, thank you guys for coming on. That was a lot of fun. You have to do it again sometime, maybe with movie Cars. Trill, do the thing. We'll see you next episode. Jeff will be back.
Have a good week at the box office. Crossfire, you can count on my crossfire.